I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Hey, welcome to another episode of the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. I'm your host, Rod, joined as always by my co-host,
Karen.
And we're live on a Saturday afternoon, ready to do some feedback. Feedback is a show that's all about the stuff you had to say about the stuff we had to say throughout the week. We'll talk about your emails, your voicemails, your comments on our website, your comments on Spotify, your votes in the polls, your phone, your voicemails. I said that already. We'll talk about all that stuff. The official weapon of the show is
Taser,
an unofficial sport,
football,
and Bullet Ball Extreme. Of course, there are people that took the time out to give us some money. Mm-hmm. And we want to give them a shout out first. You can give us money by going to theblackouttips.com, looking on the right hand side of the website. And there's like, hey, you want to do a monthly donation? Any amount will do. We don't care. You all get the same shout out. As a matter of fact, here you go. Right, new day, new pay, new gifts, new donations. Let's talk about it. Johanna M, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Ricky A, pretty Ricky, what to call me? David from Brooklyn. Cavis D, Laura F, Triangle Wine Co. Kalfani G, Chris from Hawaii, April G, Brianna F, Corey the Tickler, Tabitha M, Alexis H, Tanya S, and Wonga from Down Under, Dana W, and finally, Marlon B. Yes, Marlon B. Thank you, everybody, for taking the time out to give us that money. That's what we're really here for. And before we really get into the show, this is what the poll gonna be about. So, Spotify/Anchor, our host, has opened up some ideas for us that we were kind of kicking yesterday. I've been thinking about all week, but I know I ran it by Karen last night. So this is for Spotify listeners. Well, it actually is for all listeners because you can.
Yeah.
Would y'all rather, because we can only pick one of the two. Mm-hmm. Would y'all rather us like open it up to where people can do like, kind of like what we do with the donations, where you can like put money in if you want to, obviously no pressure, don't mm-hmm. you know, if you don't got it, you don't want it, totally fine. Mm-hmm. But you can put in and you get a shout out like once a month, you know, for the people that donate using you know, the Spotify/Anchor stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Or as another option, we were thinking we could have like a, it's not really premium, it's kind of like, it's like if you didn't give a full, it's like a tip jar, it's like just yeah. a tip where like say for $5 a month every week you get 2 to 4 times a month you get one you get a random premium show that we have behind our paywall. So it's not like you get all the shows obviously because you're not fully premium, but like you might get Balls Deep, and then the next week you might get a movie review, and then the next week you might get the Nerd Off, and then you might get the pregame, you might get a little Smacking Good. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a way to try before you buy. Maybe you're a little right. hesitant, you're a little worried, right. like
you go, I don't really know,
I'm gonna get them $15, it's not gonna be worth it or something. Mm-hmm. I don't, what kind of shows do they be doing, do I even care? Mm-hmm. So it's like a little something like that. I know we're doing less episodes, so it's also a way for people to feel like, oh, okay, I get that one more episode. Mm-hmm. We haven't experimented with this really yet. So it's just something I was thinking about. I think I'm going to make it the poll. We'll see what the results are. And if people are like, we rather do like shout us out with donations, you know, like I said, no pressure on either of these. Mm-hmm. Or, hey, I want to put in $5 and get some of this, behind the paywall goodness. And, you know, even if it's like a throwback episode or even if it's like, you know, some new current shit, you know, just something to kind of mix it up. I don't know. It was just something I wanted to roll by y'all. So be on the lookout for that in the poll. If you're, mm-hmm. you know, if you're on Spotify right now or you're on our website, you know, go to the website, look at this episode, for those of y'all listening in the future.
Yeah.
And vote in the poll.
Yeah. And you don't have to be on Spotify to actually listen. Like if you go, well, if you choose to do the $5, so I want people to know when they're voting, like, if you're voting and you're going, well, I don't have Spotify, you don't have to actually be on Spotify in order to do it.
Yeah, because they give you an RSS feed. So if you just are like, I just want to try out the one bonus episode a week type thing, they give you an RSS feed for you to do that. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to be on Spotify to do it. Mm-hmm. But if you are on Spotify, it's a bonus. You can just do it. It's just automatically in your feed.
It's through Spotify, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, something to think about. Mm-hmm. 5-star reviews. Let's talk about them. We got 4, but 2 of them were for This Too Much. So I'm going to save that for our This Too Much episodes for me and Bossy. But we got 2 for the regular feed. This is from Bookworm 33. Great show. Love this show. Great, thoughtful conversations and comedy. Thanks, Rod and Karen. Bookworm 33, 5 stars. Thank you.
Thank you.
And lastly is to my country cousins from Chelsea, A Girl Has No Chill, who says, Rod and Karen quickly became my favorite podcast over the pandemic. I originally started listening after the Vice feature on Game of Thrones, but due to my depression, I decided to rewatch Game of Thrones while listening to them Thrones segments, which I highly recommend if you need to laugh and smile. And I'm constantly around white people at work, so listening to them all day makes me feel a little less alone, and I'm constantly chuckling to myself. Thank you for being yourselves and helping me get through my days. I owe you beer and po' boys if you ever come to New Orleans. I love y'all and wishing you all the best. Oh, thank you, Chelsea.
Thank you. I like po' boys.
You know, I do like po' boys. Mm-hmm. Especially when they have all that seafood up in them.
Yes, and them sauces.
Oh, yeah, them sauces.
Yeah, because it varies where you get it. I'm down for it.
Mm-hmm. Let's get to these episodes, okay? Moving briskly along. How... Episode 2446, How the Spotify Money Changed Us, was our feedback episode. It was a long one.
We had a lot to say.
And y'all had a lot to say. And honestly, you know, those are some of my favorites.
We be talking.
Mm-hmm. EVE says, I have to object to David's testimony about his Arby's experience. Now, how can you object? How can you object to somebody else's lived experience? What? Are you from?
I don't believe you.
Are you from Big Arby's? Do you own Arby's clothing?
Arby's stock?
I say cap. He got items off the deal menu and that at a not busy time of the day. That's his fault for choosing the wrong items. Every restaurant have duds, even McDonald's. There are so many delicious menu items. They have the meats, the very delicious juicy meats. David is a hater, and so are you, Rod. As Miss Smart says, you're the feds. Jesus. They got very weirdly personal for no reason. Man. I felt that in my soul. I could feel what you were saying.
You know, bitch.
That's how you was. That's what you was really thinking. Mm-hmm.
Bitch, get out of my face.
Just calling up here to tell me that. Mm-mm-mm. Well, anyway, I'm not going to be gaslit. Moving to the next one. Sean, about reading Rainbow, just 2 things. When talking about the Revolutionary War, American textbooks tend to ignore Somerset versus Stuart. This is a court case in England that ruled that for slavery to be recognized, there must be specific laws to support it as an institution. This ruling also made a Virginian have to go home without his property in 1772. The other thing is the Tea Act of 1773 actually was a reduction on taxation on the colonies and would have lowered the cost of tea, which was a market threat to smuggled tea. John Hancock was thought to be a significant tea smuggler. You know, Sean, that's interesting because I can only speak for myself. I don't know if this is a thing other people felt in school, but when I learned about the Boston Tea Party, I honestly did not understand.
Cause it made no sense.
Like, the idea of overthrowing the tyrannical government over these taxes and then throwing the tea in the thing, it just felt like some shit we were being taught to justify it, and then we were supposed to take it at that young age and be like, well, I guess if a motherfucker raised taxes, you can go kill everybody.
Like, this is stupid. Like, it has to be more than we fucking mad and we dumped the green tea in the ocean. Like, come on now, it's more to this than this bullshit.
And then the part where I think the detail that stuck out to me when I was a kid, and it's just the kind of kid I grew up as, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't fun at parties. I still might not be. I was very type of kid. But didn't they dress up as Native Americans? What, did I make that up? Wasn't that part of it?
Well, I don't remember.
Like, I feel like they disguised themselves as something else. Like,
that's even more fucked up.
It felt a little blackfacey.
A little racist-y.
What were the colonists disguised as during the Boston Tea Party? In Boston Harbor, a group of Massachusetts colonists disguised as Mohawk Indians. I knew it.
Boarded three shit.
British tea stewards. Like, they didn't even do it. Well, you know what I'm saying? They didn't put their name on it. It don't feel right.
They didn't come out there with them pilgrim hats.
Yeah. Like, it didn't feel right. They didn't just go out there with their powder wigs and be like, this is how we getting down. They had to be out there like, we some Indians, y'all. Tomahawk chop, all that shit. But brown people did this, not us. And then they ran off into the night, and you're like, like, what the fuck y'all talking about?
I knew it. I was like, yeah, they sound like, y'all charge us, fuck you and your tea. And they just dumped the Earl Grey into the ocean. I was like, okay.
Yeah, and honestly, you know, I think a lot of that stuff is just kind of ridiculous. You know what I mean? Because we get taught that stuff at an age where we won't question it.
Of course.
And I think, you know, the Rittenhouse trial is a good example of just who gets to own America. Who gets to feel like they're part of this. One of the reasons I say I'm very politically astute, I'm up on things. I'll never feel the quote unquote patriotism that white people feel for this country is because there's a part of me that no matter what happens knows that so much of it is a lie. I don't feel ownership to tax percentages or, you know, like, I've never started a fucking sentence with my tax dollars. Mm-mm. And meant it in earnesty in the way that white people do. You know, the American dream and shit like that.
What was this country founded on? Like, you know, I ain't never heard no niggas go, my forefathers.
Never.
You know, like when the way white people talk about it.
I know. Yeah.
We go our ancestors. We don't go my forefathers.
Right.
So, you know, with things like that, you know, for me, that's why when it came to like the military and things like that, and I have family that served in the military, but I was like, oh, I won't be serving. Like, for me personally. And it's just one of those things where, for me, because with black people, I know for me personally, it's a mixed feeling because I love this country as far as the freedoms. Even though we ain't quote unquote free, but you know, I'm freer, you know, black people are freer than we have been in the past. But there are some things about this country I don't love the country like you love the country. Like,
yeah,
have this ridiculous love for the country that blinds me.
They got mad at Michelle Obama saying that was the first time she was proud of her country. And then they spent the next 8 years making sure she should be ashamed of this country.
Right.
You know, shit. Actually, the next 12.
Come on.
The squad. In terms of the squad's votes against bipartisan infrastructure bill, my thoughts are that it may have been more strategic. Do you think Mitch McConnell would have voted for a bill that the squad voted for? How about Lindsey Graham? My thought is that trading the squad's votes for either of those votes would help sell it as bipartisan. Really, who gives a fuck about bipartisan? I just want good fucking policy. A generous interpretation would be that them not voting could have possibly netted the bill up to 6 House votes and up to 10 Senate votes. Without knowing more, I could not actually vote in the poll. I don't know, bro.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. I'm gonna tell you, this is what I think. I agree with Roger. Nancy wouldn't have put it out there unless she had enough votes. And she was like, well, I don't care how y'all vote. Period. Like, it wouldn't have mattered if they voted for or if they voted against. Nancy would not have put it out there unless she had enough votes to know that shit would pass with or without them. And the people that you listed wouldn't have voted for that shit regardless. So it doesn't matter.
Well, some of them did vote for it is what he's saying.
Oh, okay.
And so he's saying that maybe it was the fact that the squad was unhappy that made some Republicans go, okay, I'll vote for this bill because the liberals aren't getting what they want.
I don't think that made a difference. And the fact that they voted for it, they got something out of it. They wouldn't have voted for it just empty handed. They may have voted for it because they chopped a bunch of shit out of it. Cause we didn't actually get the original shit that they wanted to pass.
Yeah. It's, so for me, I was reading an article that was talking about, cause you know, the assumption I made is that it must play well enough with their constituents that locally vote for them that they would not be risking too much. And obviously, to me, I don't think it needs to be this explicit that they would need to run it by everybody and stuff. I really think Nancy put it to the floor, and if she didn't call you and make sure she had your vote, she didn't really give a fuck what you did.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, it may have even embarrassed them, quote unquote, because it showed that they don't have the power yet to really move anything. Even if all six of them, or well, really it's supposed to be seven, but since one of them voted yes, I guess all the articles are leaving her out of the squad now, but whatever. But I read this article, fuck, I can't remember who it's from. I think I shared it on my Facebook. I had to look it up. It might have been Daily Beast or something. But I shared this article about them where the paper went and actually interviewed their constituents and talked to the local people in their community mm-hmm. about it. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting because while people were understanding, it ruffled some feathers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was the Daily Beast. The squad gets love from the left and anger from voters. So, and this is the thing I've been pointing out for a while, is that it is a little bit incongruent because Twitter is not a reflection really of life. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times things that play well on Twitter and seem normal on Twitter can be things that don't necessarily play well in the public and in people's faces. Mm-hmm. And so there were people bringing up shit like, Jamal Bowman, you from a city where we need this infrastructure bill for the water.
Right.
You campaigned on shit like this and you went up there and said no. And no, it doesn't mean we're like abandoning you, but we do think this is a bad look.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we would have, and then they all talked about how they all had to have these like press events and town halls and stuff to explain the vote and why they did what they did. And there were very long explanations. And my thing is like, these are the same people that say the problem with Democrats is we spend too much time explaining. Well, if you have to do something that you need to explain, that's just what it is. Come you on. Just like, you can either do the simple thing that everybody goes, yeah, we know why you did that. Yeah, you vote yes because those are good things and those are the things you campaign on. If you say I voted no, but it's really not a no, and what I really meant was this, well, now you're explaining, you know. So you can't really have it both ways, because that's one of the biggest criticisms that the super progressive side has of the rest of the Democrats. And then the other thing was that there were people that just flat out didn't like it. Like, even right. even with the like the people that was like, I didn't like it, but I'll support them. There were people that were like, maybe I'm a primary you. Maybe I don't want to vote for you next time. What? Maybe you're bullshitting. And so once again, this is a snapshot. This is one article.
Right.
This, a lot of this to me felt kind of anecdotal. I think the people in positions of power that support them are going to have their backs, because why would they flip over this? And what I thought was interesting is that the lesson the progressive supporters of them in positions of power were taking from it was a lesson of, we need more super progressives in power so that we could have stopped this bill. Which I'm like, I don't know that that's the right lesson, because I don't think, if you're saying it didn't play well with your constituents to vote against it while it did pass, why do you think it would play better if it, because to me a lot of the it's okay is because they went, well, it passed anyway and we're gonna get the funding.
Right.
If they really did turn around and say, well, it didn't pass, we stopped it, I don't know that all the explaining in the world would have made them people,
even people that supported them would have fucking turned on.
Because the assumption is that they're going to get the moderate Dems to feel pressure and fold. And I don't know that that's going to happen. I mm-hmm. think you're much more likely to get progressive people to fold, because progressive people claim to care about other people. And the people that are conservative Democrats don't. They just be over there with Republicans piling around.
Yes, sir.
And I don't think it's a pressure thing, because all the pressure is on Sinema and Manchin and they ain't blinking.
Mm-mm.
So I don't know what's going to happen. We'll see when this next bill comes up for vote. They definitely have to strip a bunch of shit out to even consider voting for this. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just my assumption was, it may be incorrect that they're safe and they can do kind of whatever they want to. I don't, because their district may or may not, I don't live there, and their district may or may not really be as liberal as those politicians are.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how this plays out, because The thing is, the people that you represent are watching you, and a lot of those people that you represent, they are not on social media, they are not on Twitter. They're looking at those rolls, they're looking at, they reading those bills, and they're going, why are you voting against something that would help our community? And after that, they don't give a fuck about nothing else you got to say past that point. They was like, I don't give a fuck, why did you vote against it? And that's gonna be the bottom line for them, you know. Right. They ain't trying to hear this him and Han. They ain't trying to hear we wanted to get more money. They're like, I don't give a fuck. Guess what? Don't work right now. My goddamn water today, right now, bitch. Get it to running.
Right. So, let's get back to the next one. Miss Barnes says everything EVE said was the truth. He needed to spend more money on high dollar items, and he would have such a different opinion. Those shakes are fire too. Man, y'all. I hope Arby's write y'all a check for this.
They was
shit.
Like, they were like, Michael Jordan, I take this personally.
Right. The poll was, did you also feel like Spotify money changed us? No or yes. 24% said yes. 76% said no. Mm. Now on Spotify, which I would assume is people would be more biased towards Spotify, only 12% said that the money changed us.
Oh shit.
88% said no. So shout out to Spotify. Those are the real listeners and the real fans now.
Nobody left in the comments.
Yeah, we got comments. Okay. I'm going to them. Tina Shea says, nah, you didn't change an aorta, iota. If y'all hadn't told us or moved your content exclusively to Spotify, I don't think anyone would have noticed. I know I didn't. Let's see. Blue Wave Rider says, bougie ass, 5-ply toilet paper buying, Peloton riding filet mignon eating niggas. Nah, that Spotify money didn't change y'all. Thank you. Sean says, I think you learned a lot. Copyright, anchor, the talent of your audience. Those new tag songs are amazing, but the money didn't change y'all to a statistically significant degree. What would the statistics to measure how much the money changed us be? Mm-hmm. That's a question I got.
What are the degrees?
Miss Barnes says you haven't changed because you still will not eat Arby's. Shaking my damn head. And Lakita says, per the poll, in a good way. So I don't know.
Yay!
You know, I was kind of hoping the people that said yes would say, what was it that changed or whatever? But I think change is just inevitable. The things I would say change weren't. The only thing that I think changed for us was learning like copyright shit. Yeah, like legal shit.
It was more complex than we thought,
but nothing changed content for me. I've made one content decision with Spotify in mind, as far as like, we can't talk about this topic, or we got to do this, we got to do that. So let's see. And then the question and answer segment on Anchor, the question was, thank you for being understanding about us taking more breaks. Make sure you do the same at your jobs. And there were 18 comments.
Ooh, y'all had a lot to say.
David, way ahead of you. Look, I took last week off for no reason. They had the audacity to ask me why. I quoted the marvelous Miss Karen and told them, because I'm an adult. Much love.
What the fuck? I'm taking off. None of your goddamn business. I'm not going to be here. Work with it. Deal with it.
Yeah, marvelous Miss Karen is going to be a spinoff on Amazon with the marvelous Miss Mayor Maisel. B. Tay says, I'll be sad not to have to listen as often during the week and to keep me sane, but I understand. I hope you both happy as well. We are happy. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Chris says, I took a 3-day weekend trip to disconnect and recharge myself and my dog and the dog. Do you guys have a Discord fan chat server? We do not. Sound like another thing to manage. I don't know. I have to look into that. Patrina says, enjoy your break. The white family says, real talk, black self-care is critical. Mm-hmm. Sci-fi chick says, I can definitely do that. I'm taking all of next week off so that I don't lose it, and I have another day to take toward before the end of the year. Get that the rest that you need and deserve. Mm-hmm. Zinzi says, I truly appreciate everything you guys do, and I want you to take all the breaks you need. I just got back from a 6-week break myself, and I'm still not ready to go back to the grind.
Come on.
Miss Barnes says, I will let my manager know that you, per Rod and Karen, I need to take more breaks. Thank you. Ignacio says, do your thing. Thank you for doing what you two do for us. Love from Thailand. Shout out to Thailand. Mm-hmm. Shanna says, I want some Spotify money so I can switch up on people. Give me an excuse. Smart. Shady Dane says, life is too short to live for work. Even if it's your own business, live for life, y'all. Mm-hmm. Marvin W says, y'all work so hard for yourselves and for us. I got no problem with you taking your time for you. You have to look out for yourselves, paranoia or not. Aaron says, thank you for taking amazing care of yourselves. Rachel says, I'm glad y'all take care of yourselves, but I gotta be honest, I'm selfish and greedy and I want all the shows. You're my favorite podcast. Take care. Three heart emojis. Love you, Taryn. You are a treasure.
Thank you.
BKN8609 says, no problem, y'all deserve it. I deserve it too, but I'm not in a situation where I could do that quite yet. I'll take a break soon before I break down though. Love you guys. Mm-hmm.
That's a thing at most jobs, depending on where you work, unless it's like, well, no, even then, most jobs have some form of a PTO or they give you some time, you got days, like something. Most jobs ain't like you don't get no time off. I've worked at places like that where you don't work, you don't get paid. Now, that's completely different, but if you had a job where they offer you some form of like a PTO or give you a certain amount of days, use it.
Yeah, and don't wait till you break down to take a break, because it's gonna take a break one way or the other.
Either you put like this, you gonna break or your body gonna break, and when your body break, you ain't gonna like the way it breaks, because nothing moves when it shuts down.
M Nicole says, yes indeed. Katisha says, take as many breaks as you need, and I plan to do the same. Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, it was just something I thought about. Like, I've been going to some of these workshops and like online podcast conferences and stuff, and one of the things I went to was about burnout was what it was about. Oh. And it was like how to avoid burnout, you know? And I was like, yeah, I don't want to get burned out. And then you hear these podcasts where the people are burned out.
You can tell.
I appreciate the honesty and transparency, but like, you also are making a product, and I don't know that people want to tune in to your thing that's just like fucking like everything's the worst and so hard and I hate it and it's like, damn, maybe you should have took the week off.
Yeah,
you know, come to it when you get a spirit of renewal that makes you feel like, you know, doing this shit, because, you know, nobody wants to be at a job where somebody sounds like they hate it.
Yeah, and also, you know, we listen to enough podcasts, you listen to people, you can tell when people are they getting tired, like, because like I said, you listen to hundreds, sometimes thousands of hours of people's voices. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you actually kind of know their tone and things like that, because you verbally, you know, it's an audible thing, so you audibly listen to them. And the thing is, you take the breaks when you need them, versus you have that hit that wall and then you're gone for a month. Right. And then you're gone for 3 months or sometimes never come back, because every time you think about this thing, you get PTSD or you get agitated. It'll just remind you of how not fun it was, versus taking the breaks as you need them, when you need them, so that you can continue to do the thing that you love and enjoy.
Yeah, I think that's huge, man. I mean, we've all been in a position where it's like, this motherfucker right here hate this job. Mm-hmm. Or like I said, you listen to somebody's podcast or whatever, and you're just like, they could have took this one off. This is like, they make it sound like I'm doing you the favor of fucking existing and shit. I'm like, yeah. Well, who wants to start anything with that attitude?
Yeah, because some, you know, listen to podcasts where you can hear the anger in their voice, the frustration in their voice, and almost like they blame the audience for making them feel obligated to put out a product. And
right.
You're like, oh, no, come on now. I listen to you because I enjoy you. Don't make it my fault. I'd rather you take the break.
Yeah. Episode 2447, White Men in the Black Barbershop. We only got one comment from EVE, who says, I think DaBaby is an example of if he wasn't shit with his other baby mamas, he ain't gonna be shit with you either. Has no one learned anything from Future? I hear what you're saying, EVE, but you have to remember, this baby mama is light skinned. So, you see what I'm saying? Obviously, yeah, I don't even need to explain. You get the rest, right? Light skin is what he want. Let's see. Should the fortune teller go to jail was the poll. Yes or no? 61% sided with Karen on this and said, yes, he should go to jail. Which means 39% of y'all thought, nah, he shouldn't go to jail. And on Spotify, it was damn near identical, 60 and 40. So, I guess most of y'all don't agree with me that I don't see how Christian pastors and other religious scammers stay out of jail, but this man gotta go to jail. Either they all should go to jail or no one should go to jail. There's no real distinction in this. Anyway, Blue Wave Rider says, so both you niggas subscribe to Twitter Blue and you only do 3 free shows a week? Nah, that Spotify money ain't changed your bougie asses.
Now we bougie.
Listen, I can't help that y'all don't understand the luxury of what this $3 a month is getting me, okay? Your boy ain't put out a typo in so long. It's really amazing. I haven't had a bad take because I'm just undue. No response. You know, I had Kyle Rittenhouse commentaries written out. I said, undo. Twitter blue. Okay. let's see. The question and answers for this episode. Kim Kardashian has a sex tape. Does Kanye know? We had some comments. Simone says, I feel like that tape is in Kanye's regular porn rotation. It probably has been since before they dated. Valid. Linda says, Kanye rapped about it, so he knows. It's amazing to me, after all these years, we're still talking about Kim's sex tape. I know Ray J kicking himself that his quote-unquote friend released it. Right. Thaddeus says, he is most likely very familiar with it, and it may have started his long interest in her. I love y'all that took it serious. Solomon says, Kanye was holding the camera. That's good. Contention says, of course, he gotta make sure his technique is better than Ray J's. Well, Rachel says, Kanye don't care about nothing that don't include Kanye. That's good. The Baby Mama Club says, a sweet baby angel Kimberly Noel Kardashian, a sex tape? This can't be true, right? Miss Barnes says, the tape was the pits. Yay, not missing anything. Yeah, it wasn't a good tape. Mm-hmm. But, you know, good. In all fairness, I don't think any of us wants to be filmed having sex. But I think if you're gonna film yourself having sex, you'd like to see yourself. You feel like you'll be a gamer, you know what I mean? That's the day you're gonna bring it, and she didn't bring it that day. So, you know, and I think people are really relishing judging her for that, because she is one of the most coveted women at the time, or I guess now even. Mm-hmm. And to have a notch up on her, like, but at least she fucked bad, and we were like, yeah, we all fuck better than Kim K, you know. Toy Word, just put a laugh.
Professional sex people out here.
Yeah, it's just, but it's, we all get to judge and feel like we right. better. And, you know, she got to be rich off of it, so whatever. White family says Kanye may not, but Yeezy is still looking for Ray J. Mom Drag with Swag says he the director, and Gil says, LOL, I'm sure Ray J has reminded him. She reminded us all. Mm-hmm. Minga made a whole song about it. Mm-hmm. I hit it. The I hit it first song. Mm-hmm. So, that's my man.
It's hilarious.
You're so ridiculous. And the last episode is Jail Customer Service. Episode 2448. Two comments. Think Pretty Smart says, what's up? In the matter of DC lifting the mask mandate for indoor spaces, yes, the city has a pretty high vaccine rate, as do many of the surrounding areas. We are unique in that DC can't really only look at local rates, because there is so much travel between DC, Maryland, and Virginia.
Right.
So while she is dropping the DC mask mandate, nearby jurisdictions are returning to their mask mandates. Further, DC has a lot of American tourists who can get on airplanes without having to prove vaccination status, because they fly within the US. Those people come to their area daily. I'm far less concerned about people entering the country, because anyone entering the US must have to have a negative test result. P.S. Thanks for not doing a show on Wednesday to give me time to catch up or to go to the sports ball game. Well, you're welcome, buddy. Mm-hmm. I was thinking of you.
We got you covered.
Yeah. I'm going to do it again. Bamil says, I have a complaint for the Department of Puns. When Ryan was reading the story about the rocker peeing on the fan, a line in the article read, the department received a notification on the Facebook account about the urinary infraction. I'm shocked and appalled that you let that pun, urinary infection, just flow past you. must have been a different stream of thought I was on. Is it because you're only doing 2 shows a week, a mere trickle of the usual output, that there's no steady stream of puns? Are you prepared to flush years of pun goodwill down the drain? Now, it's not my intention to write a epistle, but I had to let my opinions known. As much as I love the show, I can't carry your water. Ow! Won't be fooled again.
Oh, Emil. That's hilarious.
Thank you. We appreciate the contribution. You know, just giving us a little splash of your input. All right, the poll. Would you call the police if an artist consensually peed on a fan on stage at a concert that you attended? Yes or no?
No.
Karen says no. And 89% of the chat of the listeners agree with Karen. 11% said they would call the police.
The feds.
Now what's interesting is that is the exact same result of the Spotify poll.
Do the same people vote on Spotify and turn around and come to the poll?
I don't know. And I guess I must have forgot to make a question for Spotify for this one. My bad, y'all. But the one comment was Blue Wave Rider says, if you look carefully at the side of the road where you drive, you'll see a lot of piss bottles that people have, that people threw out of their windows. So did people pull over and pee, or did they pee while driving? Inquiring minds want to know.
Pee while driving.
I've never looked at the side of the road for pee bottles. I didn't even know that was happening.
Yeah, pee while driving, because when we was little kids, that's what now if the little girls had to pee, they normally would actually go to the bathroom, you know what I mean, stop. But if boys had to pee, they would turn and they would cause them to piss, because, you know, I'm trying to make good hours, I'm not trying to pull up because y'all kids got to pee, or either you're stuck in traffic, you know, because when you're going from like North Carolina to New York, it's like a 12-hour drive. Well we were going like 12-hour drive, and you get to certain parts of the country, and it's one of those things where I can't pull over. I might be three lanes over from an exit or some shit like that. So it's like, here's a piss container, and we'll dump it out.
And you was peeing in bottles?
No. I said I don't want to make the boys do that.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. All right. Well, we got some voicemails coming up, but first we gotta highlight our sponsor, Manscaped. Hey y'all, it's holiday time, and what you don't want to bring into the holidays with you is them old crusted, dusty old balls, okay? You don't want to be unkempt coming into the Christmas season. It's time to get into the Christmas spirit, and that's why here at the Blackout Tips, we want to offer you the exclusive 20% off and free shipping with code TBGWT at manscaped.com. What is Manscaped? Manscaped are the men's below the waist grooming champions of the world. They have precision engineered tools for your family jewels. They just launched the Lawnmower 4.0, and they are trying to hook you up. So make sure you use our code and get in the Christmas spirit, okay? Because we want you to celebrate with us. And that's why now, if you act now for a limited time only, I will give you the best of Rod Christmas carols for your balls with hits such as Deck the Balls. Deck the balls all smooth and jolly, fa la 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 la, la 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 la. Will it be nice or will it be naughty, fa la 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 la, la 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 la. And other hits such as Jingle Balls. Jingle balls, jingle balls, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun to make a ride when you just got a fresh shave. Hey! Jingle balls, jingle balls, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun that she can have when you just got a fresh shave. And other hits like Let It Mow. Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but a shave would be so delightful. And since we have nowhere to go, let it mow, let it mow, let it mow. And such wonderful hits as Silent Nuts. Silent Nuts. Holy nuts, all is calm, all is cut, round this cock as I trim through these thighs. And for the Christmas romantics, such hits as Shear Those Balls. know it's that wonderful time of year we all look around and look forward to.
Oh yes it is.
It's getting cold outside.
So cold.
You know what that means. Share those balls. Share those balls. It's time to go out into the city.
Let's go.
And other love songs like This Christmas. Oh, and you don't have to be alone. You can make a nice romantic night out of using the Lawnmower 4.0. That's right, fellas. She'll like it too. Hang all your testes low. She's gonna get to know you better. This Christmas, and as she trims that tree, how much fun it's gonna be together. This Christmas. All these hits and more can be yours for the low, low price of going to manscaped.com using code TBGWT and getting 25% off, or taking advantage of their Black Friday sale or Cyber Monday sales, which are going on this week. Make sure you do that. And you can also get access to such other hits as Cocking Around the Christmas Tree, Balls Be Home for Christmas, Old Tannin Balls, Jingle Ball Rock, or Holly Bally Christmas. These and more will be included with your purchase. None of these songs will be included with your purchase. Act now and you can get the deal, but you will not be able to get these songs because none of these songs are actually recorded. This is just Rod playing around on a Friday night when Karen was getting her hair done and she wasn't in the house to stop them. So y'all just enjoy this code, TBGWT at manscaped.com.
All right, let's get to the voicemail.
What the hell is wrong with you? Y'all see what he do when I go get my hair done? What's wrong with you?
I'm just trying to get us a sponsor, man. It's a Black Friday sale. It's Christmas time.
It's a great way to promote it.
Yeah, so I just thought they... Karen, I'm trying to do a serious show here. I'm trying to do the voicemails. Is it okay if I get to the voicemails?
I guess it's okay.
Okay.
We don't have any more ball talk. Any more ball songs you
well
got?
It's about it's about tripping balls. That's the sponsor, Karen. Okay, I you know I go above and beyond for our sponsors.
Apparently you do it.
Hopefully people are gonna go to manscaped.com and use our code now, because you know that's how they know we're doing a good job. So anyway, can we get to the voicemails? Is that fine?
I guess so.
All right, 704. I don't see what's so funny. 704.
What's so funny? The hell? Where have you been?
704-557-0186. It's a voicemail line. We got a few. This is from Tyrone.
Hey, Ron and Karen. It's Tyrone, man. I try to call just once a month, leave a voicemail. I'm trying to leave top five rating for you when I get a chance. But I was just calling because I just finished watching the movie The Harder They Fall, and I would love for you to review it, man. I love the movie. It was great. But I was telling a friend, the movie, to me, the role of Cherokee Bill was like one of the most powerful parts of the movie to me. I mean, his part was like, if you listen to what he was saying during the whole movie, man, was just powerful, but it was quiet. It was strong, man. It's like his role is equivalent to me. It's like Val Kilmer as Doc Holliday or Don Cheadle as Miles Alexander and Devil in a Blue Dress. Those roles they seem small, but man, they're huge for the movie they're in. I mean, the things he was saying, the way he was doing them, just made it, you know, just cool, man. I was looking at the part where, you know, you see the movies and they do things and they seem funny, but really you're more of like laughing like, oh my God, this dude really is who he talking to be. And I mean, like, you know, he kills a dude that everybody kept saying he was going to die if he didn't act right. And you just look at it and watch him do it, and you're like, wow. You know, you giggle, but you're like, man, that's a hell of a role. So to me, man, it's one of the best Westerns I've seen, man, in a long time. And I pray nobody keep trying to do it like they did it, because you kind of mess up that kind of style. And the other thing is, man, Patty must have told Reed Hastings, hey, look, I need me a black cowboy movie, because, man, they must have drove a dump truck full of money to them, man. This movie is good as hell. With that, man, I love y'all's show, man. Hope you and your wife are doing great. Take it easy. Bye.
I haven't seen it yet. I was worried that you were going to spoil it, but thank you for being vague.
Right.
Because I do plan on watching it, and I do plan on reviewing it. So I do owe y'all some reviews. I watched Dune. I think this movie called Kate. Cry Macho, and there's one more movie I watched that I owe y'all a review on. Oh, the one with Hugh Jackman and that water that memory joint, Reminiscent or whatever.
Okay,
so I do owe y'all some solo reviews, but that's one I've been waiting to watch with Karen, because I figured she probably wanted to watch it. And I was right.
Hey, Rod and Karen, it's Tyrone again. One last thing, man. I meant to say it, but I totally forgot. I'm a truck driver. I drive all over the country. I mean, actually, I drive just local now. But I never get to listen to y'all shows live. And I love listening to them, especially your paid shows. I listen to all of them. And I was just wondering, man, I see y'all YouTube a lot of stuff. Even if y'all put it on another paid subscription for y'all live show, I mean, y'all paid shows. Man, I know you might not do it for the free ones, but like the paid shows, Nerd Offs and stuff like that. Could y'all put them on YouTube or something so we can actually watch them a day later? I'm always a day late with y'all shows because of the way I work. But man, I would love to see y'all do them. I love when y'all do stuff on YouTube. And if there's a place where y'all can put them up, we had to just pay $1 a show or whatever, man. I love the show. So I would love to see them live like some of the other people do, man. Just a suggestion, man. Something maybe you'll think about later. Thanks. Y'all take it easy. Karen. Well, man, I love how you just saved the show. I've been listening to y'all for about 3 years, and I think it's a hell of a thing, man. You brought your wife on the show, man, because some people don't like working together. Some people don't like being around each other. But, man, hey, if it works for y'all and it does, it seems like more blessings, man. And I hope y'all keep getting whatever y'all achieve, trying to achieve. Bye.
Thanks, Tyrone.
Thank you. I know that for the regular free shows, you can go to crowdcast.io. And every single show that we've done is actually live. Like, you can actually, they're replays, so you can click and you can replay. And if you said you was premium, you can actually go to the link that sent to you in the email, and you can actually watch the show after we do it there too.
Yeah, so first of all, if you're mobile or whatever, you might want to get the Crowdcast app.
Right.
We do all our shows live on Crowdcast. The website is crowdcast.io. You know what? I'm going to start putting that link in the show notes.
Start doing that, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to make a note.
So people know. Yeah, so like, and there's a lot of people who come to the chat every time we go live, because once you sign up for Crowdcast and you make an account, you can go to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast and you can follow.
Yeah, I'll put the link to our podcast in there. You can just hit follow.
Right.
The second thing is, if you're premium, you should be getting an email every time we schedule a show that is live behind a paywall. But that is normally the Nerd Off, Pregame, Balls Deep. You know, those are the ones we normally do live.
And if you're not getting let us know.
If you're not getting those emails, let us know. I send it out normally at least 5 or 6 hours before showtime, so that people have time to like register. And the replays are up forever. Like, I don't know about forever, but they're up for literally years. You can go in and click and watch a replay. So if you're not getting that, email me, theblackoutist@gmail.com. Everybody should be getting that. That's premium. And if you need it, if you use the email that you don't check or something, then right. Let, you know, maybe that's the issue. But, yeah, if you have any issues with that, let me know. Cause we love when people are behind the paywall and we're doing live shows, and it's always a fun, good time. And, the replay is always up there. The replay for this will be up there. So I'll make sure to start promoting that. The other thing, with working with Karen, I mean, you know, I think Karen's hilarious. So automatically you have that. two, I don't know, man. Those are those couple struggles, the whole like, I don't like this person and they get on my nerves, and that's not been a struggle of mine. Not telling people what to fucking think or whatever. I think we're the ones that are the outliers.
Yeah, we're the weird ones. We come to that conclusion, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, and that's fine. Like, mm-hmm. I'll be weird or whatever, but I'm not being fake. I love working with Karen. Mm-hmm. And if anything, doing the show is weird because I'm managing so many things. I often miss stuff Karen says,
right,
or
so you go back and listen to the replay.
You know, I'm looking at the next segment, I'm queuing up the next thing, and I might have to like listen to the replay or listen to the episode later, or someone writes in, or just it registers later. Sometimes I pick it up, but I don't pick it up consciously. So, you know, I worry about that kind of stuff a little bit, but you know, and I think it's weird. It's always weird when like people appreciate one of us but not the other, because I'm like, I don't know, everything you like about the other person is what I like.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, you could never insult me by being like, Karen's my fave. Nigga, me too. What the fuck? That's not an insult. That's fine.
And like, Ron's my fave. Me too.
Right. Or, you know, the people that kind of gravitate more to one of us than the mm-hmm. other or whatever. That's just natural. That's life.
Yes.
And I think the way my philosophy is set up is we are individuals. We're a married couple, but we're individuals. And just like individually, you might have a friend that you're like, I like them, but I'm not that tight with their wife. Or that's going to happen with people listening to the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad you enjoy Karen being on the show too, because she ain't going nowhere, you know. All right, we got another two voicemails from Amon. Let's see what she said.
Hey Rod, hey Karen, this is Amon. I haven't called in or been in a very long time, but I've been listening. I'm kind of all over the place. I think I'm behind episodes, but sometimes I'll just turn it on and it'll just play whatever episode's going to play. And that's the thing with the premium content. You guys, if you can, get yourself the premium content. There's so much there. But I was calling in real quick because I loved the episode with the drunk black history guys.
Mm.
They were so funny. I almost died. Like, you know, when you're drinking something and you laugh and it goes up your nose and mm-hmm. you're like coughing. But I was doing that and I was driving. I was like, so. Don't drink something while you're listening to the show. But also, I listened to, I think it's the latest episode of Nerdop. I have to go look at the date stamp on it. I don't know. But you guys were talking about, Dune. Oh, Bacon. I can't remember the other guy's name. I'm sorry to that man, but he was great too. Cause I loved his excitement about Dune. Cause yes. I also love the new Dune. Even though I saw the first one when I was 12, and my sister's like, how'd you see it when you were 12? I was like, you know, before streaming, they used to just put movies on TV. Come on now. She's like, oh, okay. But she's like, you were a baby. I was like, when it came out. I was like, I know, but it's all on TV, and I liked it. But then I went back and watched it again after I watched the new one, because everyone was complaining about the new one, and I was like, this is great. I don't know what everyone's complaining about. And I watched the old one, I was like, this is bad, y'all. I was like, I mean, I enjoyed it as a kid, but it was bad. It's like, I'm just looking at Sting and the dude who played the boy. I was like, okay, they're cute, but yeah, they tried to junk everything.
Oh, she got cut off. Last voicemail from her.
It's Iman again. Damn it, I was rambling. I'm sorry. Okay, so I had it all planned out in my head. Dune. Love the excitement about Dune. Please finish it, because I was actually going through the phone movies. I was like, oh, they didn't do Dune. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe they didn't are into Dune. But then I saw that when I listened, there you go, listened, that you were watching it. So mm-hmm. hopefully if you go, are going to review it. But if you don't and you just want to enjoy it for yourself, that's cool too. But I think you'll like it. It's honestly, they're building the world, and I'm really excited about it. But also, the Seven Deadly Sins. I was, my heart was about to be broken, because you're like, I don't know about the Seven Deadly Sins. And then Jason's like, I actually love that one. You're like, okay, yeah, the fights are really good. It's like, yes, I love it too. It's like, it's so good. But I'm the nerdy auntie. I will out my nephews if they're watching anime that they should not be watching. Because I'm always asking them, what are you guys watching? What anime are you guys watching?
Name it.
And they'll tell me. And then one of my nephews is like, oh, yeah, Seven Deadly Sins. It's like, no, no.
Yeah.
Not you, sir. Not now. You're too young for that. I was like, what's that? I was like, I'm going to tell your mom. He's like, okay, okay, I'll stop watching. I was like, well, just wait until you're 15 and go back and you can watch it. He's like, fine. But I'm always on them about, I was like, what is, I was like, what are the boys reading? What are they watching? Because I will out somebody. It's like, this one kid. Okay, no, I'm going to go. Sorry. All right, I'm going to stop. I love you guys. Thank you for all the great content. Sorry it's been so long.
Aww.
I'm
going to
stop saying sorry. All right, love you guys. Bye-bye.
Bye
bye.
Bye. You too.
Sweetie.
And nah, don't no. Sorry for taking a while to take your time. Life be lifing, and you know this is a treat whenever people check in, but it's not an obligation. I don't want people to feel like I gotta call up there. I gotta say something. The only thing I want people to feel like that about is get me my motherfucking money. Nah. I was gonna say the only thing I want people to feel like that is maybe if they leave a 5-star review or something. Where it's like, oh, I do hope people do that, but you know, other than it's not, you don't have to do any of this shit.
Mm-mm.
That being said, I did finish Dune. I do plan to review it. You know, spoiler alert, I liked it as well. So I didn't read the book. I've never seen the old movie, so whatever the hate, whatever, I probably just missed what I was supposed to hate about it. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, I liked it a lot. And then Seven Anime is just so funny because anime can be so pervy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so weirdly oddly pervy. I understand it's cultural. I'm not Japanese. I don't understand everything. I mean, I speak boob, you know what I'm saying, so I know that much. But yeah, it's just such a weird genre because like there's this line of like, why are they showing this person's panties, or like why do they eat the food and then everybody's naked having orgasms?
And yes, like food wars, that's my shit though,
right? And sometimes you're like, this is hilarious, and then sometimes you're just like, oh, this is a lot. And I don't know how you navigate that with kids, because I could understand an adult going, my kids watching cartoons, it's safe. Mm-hmm. And then you look up and it's
particularly if
like,
they're not an anime fan, they think everything is goddamn Scooby-Doo and it's not,
right? You look up and there's somebody's face in a fucking butt or whatever, you're like,
right,
what the fuck am I watching? What are you watching? How did you do that? All right, next voicemail.
Hey, Mom. Hey, Karen. It's O'Neill from New Orleans. Long-time listener. I think I've called once before. But I'm listening to you guys' feedback show. Always my favorite. Always my favorite.
Uh-huh.
And it always just is so nice to hear y'all interact and you guys compliment each other so well. It really is a great example of love. So I guess I have a question. You know, how did guys know that it was forever? And I'm sure you guys have covered this somewhere through the years, but you know, how did you know that you guys were each other's person? All right, thanks for your time. Bye.
How do we know we're each other's person? Well forever is always interesting because like I don't know that anybody knows forever, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you wake up tomorrow and this person's like, I got a whole nother family you never heard about. You're like, what the fuck?
You're like, what happened? You never told me this.
I mean, yeah, you know, so, but obviously I get your point and, I definitely understand it. I don't know. I think for me, we just could always pick up even when we were just friends. We could always just pick up and talk.
Sometimes we don't talk on the, we wouldn't talk on the phone for a long period, months. And yeah, every time me and Roger would talk, we always talk like it was no separation. Like literally, I could talk to him and not talk to him for 6 months to a year. We talk again and we would pick up like we talked every day. He sit beside me every day on the bus.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing is, even before we started dating, I would just talk about other shit, other dude. Like he was just very open. And the thing that drew me to Roderick was that y'all, I'm a talker. I talk. I will motherfucking talk the house down. I don't give a fuck if you listening or not. You like, I, as an adult, I've learned how to control that. But as a kid, I was like, look, I got to talk these words. You gonna get these words. You know, my mama fall asleep on me. I don't give a fuck. You gonna get these words. These words gotta come out. And somebody, you the only one here, so you gonna listen to me. And so Roderick was the only person who actually paid attention and remembered what I said. You know, I think I said something and he repeated it back to me. Oh yeah, I remember that. And I was like, oh, you actually are listening. And that's when it dawned on me that it was something special or different about him, that he actually paid attention to me. And I, even to today, sometimes I don't watch myself, I repeat myself. And he'd be like, oh, I already know. Then I'd be like, okay, okay, this is something I already told you. Okay, we can skip all the bullshit and I'm going to the end. You know, but, you know, Roderick actually listens to me. He's one of the few people that actually listens to me and takes me seriously and be like, I know that you're not talking just to talk. There's a reason and a purpose behind your talking. And I can actually know your language and understand you. And for me, that's what made him stand out. That's what made me actually fall in love with him, for the fact that I was like, oh, he's actually listening. And Roderick is, he's a very true and genuine person. I remember when we first started dating, I had self-confident issues. And just keeping it real, I just did not love myself. I didn't think I was pretty. I didn't think I was smart. I thought I was stupid, you know. And so Roger used to tell me all the time, when we would talk, he would tell me all the time that I was pretty. And for a long time, I did not believe him. I used to actually tell him, I don't know why you lying to me. He was like, no, I actually believe this. Like, no, like he had to tell me enough times for me to believe that he was actually telling me the truth about the words. He used to tell me I was smart, and I'd be like, okay, whatever, nigga, you know. And for me, it was one of these things where everybody has insecurities at different periods of times of their lives, and people act like insecurities are a bad thing, but insecurities are just life just deals with you in certain types of ways, and they cause these things to rise based off of your life situation. And so, you know, for me, I used to even think, like, why would somebody as smart and as intelligent as Roderick pick somebody as dumb as me? I just really think that. And one of the things Roger was like, I don't know what you're talking about, you're not really stupid and things like that. And so he actually helped me build a lot of the self-confidence that I have today. And there's still some things that I still feel like I need to become more confident in. And as time goes on, and actually this show actually helped bring a lot of those things, a lot of that self-confidence out in me, like never before, where, you know, I'm less likely to back down, I'm more apt to stand my ground, you know, and things like that. And you know, I can say that, you know, being with Roderick has helped build those characteristics and those traits within me. And so for me, those are the things that made me fall in love with, you know, with Roderick as an individual person.
And then for me, I like, we were friends for a long time and we could always talk, so that was a big thing for me. And I would just call her and check on her all the time and see how she was doing. And we would hang out at school and ride the bus together.
Yes.
And I remember we were, one day she was walking at high school and she had on this dress. And that thing was sitting. And suddenly I felt differently. I was like, maybe this is more than a friendship, you know? You never know. From that point on, I was like, I'm gonna make this my woman, you know? And I laid my Mac down flat, you know? I looked her dead in her eyes and said, look, I choose you. And all these suckers you see walking around here, you're not gonna be with them no more. This is gonna be me and you from this point on. Now I want you to look at all these people and tell them goodbye, because it's the last time any of these fools gonna have a chance with you. And you know, after that she asked me out, and at first I said no, because, you know, it's a psychological game. You can't get a dick up easy. A lot of these
play for life.
A lot of these dudes, they just get a dick up, so, you know, right away. You give the milk away for free. Nobody gonna buy the cow. But she said, "Will you go to a theater with me?" Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm gonna go ahead and just hang out with my fellas. You have a good one, darling. And she went back home. I let her think about it for a few minutes. And then I called her and I said, you know what, sugar? Go on and put your good dress on. I will go to the play with you. And we went and saw Beauty Shop 2. I hadn't seen the first one, but honestly, you don't need
matter.
To see the first one.
You don't need to see the first one.
Okay, just know it's a man named Trouble in it, and guess what?
He was Trouble, yes, he was light-skinned.
And then afterwards, we were sitting outside holding hands, and I laid these luscious lips on her.
Ah, first kiss, I remember that.
And I remember thinking to myself, I got her now. I got her. This is forever, okay? Because anybody that's willing to leave this will be a goddamn fool. And that's exactly how it happened.
These events have been revised.
That's exactly how it happened. Let's move to the next voicemail. We got next voicemail. People calling in.
I'm just saying, you know,
there's people calling in, Karen.
The views of Roger
Cat. This is very rude.
This has been revised.
Karen, this is very rude. There are people calling.
This did happen, but you know, they have been revised for comedy purposes.
This is the feedback show, Karen, this is the feedback show. People need to hear this feedback. Now, please, another person called in. I don't even know their name. Let's see what they had to say.
Hi, guys. This is Victoria. Yeah, it's 4 in the morning here, and I sometimes can't sleep early in the morning, so I tune into your show. Just because you usually get good laughs, or I get to be all angry at what's going on politically in the world. Speaking of politics, I was listening to your show this Tuesday. You were talking about the ruling in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, about the anti-mask. Funny enough, I actually work for state legislature. I'm a research analyst for the Emergency Preparedness Committee in the state house. So that is the committee out of which this law was done. I just wanted to provide some quick context and try to do this in less than whatever the cutoff time is, but we'll see. So the context for that mask, the anti-masking law, is that this past election cycle, this year actually, during the May primary, they snuck in a voter addendum. And what the addendum was to strip the governor of his power to be able to do emergency declarations. These Republicans in this state house have been fighting our governor, Democratic Governor Wolf, for the whole pandemic because of his very reasonable and responsible approach to the pandemic of making people wear masks, closing things, reopening on a tiered schedule as more people got vaccinated and everything else. The vast majority of Pennsylvanians are happy with this, and we absolutely support Governor Wolf's position on this.
Most people do.
But because Democrats don't control the state legislature, Republicans were in a tizzy about the whole Governor Wolf being able to impose these mask mandates. They're afraid.
She about to get cut off. Hold on. But y'all, this is one of the reasons. Don't listen to these people that tell you not to vote. They tell you it don't matter, that only pop up every 4 years. Don't listen to them. Your local shit is so important, because you can get a Democratic governor, senator, whatever, and then turn around and locally you get Republicans in these other jurisdictions.
Yes.
And now Republicans control the powers. They tried to do that in here. They tried to do that in North Carolina.
They strip him of some of his powers.
Yeah, like who you can install as a judge. Like, things that used to be appointments now become elected, and things that used to be elected become appointments. And all these shadowy manipulations to strip you of power so that the people's will not be spoken. As she said, the vast majority of the people probably I agree with and support whatever their governor is doing to mitigate this coronavirus pandemic.
Right, because they want the shit to be over.
And then you're going to have a handful of people that get power and speak for a minority of people, and they're like, nah, because we decided.
Right, out in the motherfucking boondies, you're out in the middle of goddamn nowhere. You're not in the major cities. You're not in the metropolitan areas. You're out in the middle of the sticks.
All right, next voicemail from her. Sound like it's too quiet. Hold on.
it's too quiet. It was quiet the whole way through, and then she left one more.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Okay, so this is Victoria again. I have no idea when I got cut off. Apparently, I am too long-winded. So I got to be honest. My granddad was long-winded too, so I guess. Anyway, that's it. It's just a crazy situation here. Republicans are idiots. Republican voters are idiots. I feel fully confident saying that because I've had to work with them for several years. And I've seen what comes out of the state legislature here in Pennsylvania. It's a mess. It's a mess. It's just a mess. So, that's what's going on here in Harrisburg. Mm-hmm. And it was just really exciting to call in because I was like, oh, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. He's talking about Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. I know that. So I was all happy to call in and give my little 2 cents because I literally had to write some of do the analysis on these bills that come out. So the very bills that were coming out against the governor's power, because I worked in that committee, I had to write them. Well, not write them, but I had to analyze them. I had to provide the background for those, for them, for the representative. Mm-hmm. So, we have to do the analysis for the Pennsylvania statutes. And so what the state representatives will do is they'll give us the bill to write and analyze. So yeah, it was a whole mess. And, I'm not happy about that whole situation because I think it's well over 60% of Pennsylvania's want mask mandate, especially for schools. Mm-hmm. And just to have a few people be able to mess it up. I don't know, man. It just gives me a little less faith in our government. All right, you guys.
All right, she got cut off one last time, but yeah, that was it. Sorry about that second one. I don't know what was wrong with the audio, but it didn't come through.
Really, really low, baby.
But yeah, we appreciate the boots on the ground, update from...
We got some smarty art people out there.
Yeah. Listen, 10 years ago, we started this. You has been it's going to be people that work in the government that hear what y'all are talking about. That's keep up the good work. And I would be I don't think that's going to happen.
That. I'm not even going to lie, y'all. For real, y'all, if y'all had told us future doctors and lawyers and PhD people and going through the military, if you told us all these different people from these different backgrounds, you'd be like, the truck that was going to be listening, I'd be like, no, yeah. I don't believe you.
Well, I would have said truck drivers. I could feel that. I feel like truck drivers.
All because of the.
Probably listen, I'll be in the truck, I'll listen to, I'll give y'all a shot, but.
Right.
You would have been like, yes, I do government research for data with the mask laws. I've been like, no one's going to be listening to us and doing that.
I just got my, master's degree in physics. I'd be like,
I'm a professor. I'm working on my 17th book, and I'm a professor, and I just wanted to say thanks for what y'all do. I'm like, okay.
My name has a doctor in front of it, and please call me the doctor because I deserved it. I'd have been like, why aren't you listening to here?
Right.
It's one of them things where I look at y'all, I'm like, get out of here. You're going to be somebody. Why are you over here with us?
Anyway, I appreciate y'all listening. Let's get to these emails. There's a lot of them. Miss Christopher writes in, Rodrin, I wanted to say thank you and that yes, I am quite adorable and that I surpass adorability in my Savage Fenty draws. Also that my heart stays blessed, y'all Nig Nogs. Jay brought it to my attention that Rod was throwing no n-wording in shade. And to that, I say thank you. The sun was getting into my eyes anyway. And as long as it's Gucci shades, I'm happy. First of all, when did I throw shade at Miss Christopher's? What did I say? I don't remember this.
Mm-mm.
Jay might be lying on me, okay? It's been a while since I got to talk to Impossible White Woman Jay. I don't know if she's Impossible White Man Jay. She hasn't, I'm just glad she's still listening.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Jay, I wanted to show her my new Savage Fenty underwear. She said, leave it for my husband. And I took that personally because the BFF agreed that I looked hot and wanted the discerning opinion of Miss Jay Breezy. Please believe me. And was denied. Yeah, that is the worst. How can we really be best friends if you won't even look at me in my Savage Fenty drawers? You know what I mean? You're sending mixed signals. P.S. Per the dishwasher debacle, my parents broke a dishwasher because it was underutilized. To this day, I sing the praises of that repairman, because anytime my mom would say, just wash those dishes by hand, I would pull out the big joker of, isn't that how the last dishwasher got broke? By not using it, mommy. Side note, I was slash M sword door, but I could say those kind of things with my to my heavy-handed mother and got away with it. Angel emoji.
I didn't know dishwashers don't work. If I guess
Karen, she's just talking about hers in her house.
Oh, okay.
I don't.
Oh, my bad.
That's what the man told her, and then she was able to use a dishwasher. She broke the code. She's the chosen one, because there were no other black children that had this happen. The rest of us is just washing dishes by hands and dealing with it. Hugs and kisses.
It's like a car. You sit it too long, it's like, you know what?
Hugs and kisses, your glucose Gritsian ally, Miss Crucible. Maybe I was talking about sugar grits. I don't know. I don't remember talking bad about you, Miss Crucible. I mean, I know you could take it and you're my friend and you're mm-hmm. funny and all
we
that
love
stuff.
You.
But I if I had some shady shit to say, I would like to remember it so I could be like, yeah, I shaded the shit out you, dog. But I don't think I shaded you. Arby's conspiracy. Hey, Ron and Karen. Had to stop episode 2446 to hate on Arby's. Yes, Raph, this is what I'm talking about. Listener of the week. I tell my friends that they be selling bricks out the drive-thru. It's odd that I see Arby's, but it's either no one there or it's a line. I swear they throwing up a signal to come get this product. That does make sense. Because that's the only way you see an Arby's. It's either, it's never like one car at Arby's. It's either like 37 because they coming to pick up them bricks, or it's zero. And if you order food, they always act surprised. They be like, what the fuck? Did you get lost, sir? McDonald's is up the street. It makes no sense because I don't know anyone that goes there. All I know is Arby parent company but owns Buffalo Wild Wings and now Dunkin'. Arby, yeah, they got long money.
Oh, that's right. They did buy both of them companies. Everybody was like, how the fuck could y'all afford them?
They parent company buy everything. And it's like, you must be moving bricks. When this shit is discovered, man, remember I told y'all first.
Big Arby's.
I told y'all this shit years ago. They are not selling Arby's. They doing something else to make money. Every day it's a new Arby's on the corner and there's nobody in it. Arby's money ain't that long, so if you ever heard a drug cartel came through Arby's, you heard it here first, Rap. No, you heard it here first. I've been with the Arby's conspiracy, but I appreciate the support, brother. Okay, this the you are the listener of the week. What is your mailing address? You just won a poster and some stickers. Cause I support the people that tell the truth. Not like Evie and Miss Barnes writing up here with these lies from straight from the pit of hell. Theron writes in, feedback episode 2446. Now I think this is the same dude that was talking about the, like, he had some issues and some prejudices against LGBTQ people, and I have read our exchange.
No, I don't remember.
You don't remember this?
I mean, I remember you talking.
You just don't
remember
his name. Right. Okay, I think this same guy. Rod, I laugh when you mentioned bringing babies into movie theaters. When my wife went back to work after the birth of our youngest kid, I talked to my manager about HR into giving me 8 weeks paid off family leave. Clinton had just passed the FMLA and no one knew all the rules yet. Mm-mm. Once I learned my son's sleep schedule, I started going to the movies every new release Friday. What I would do was fill his bottle up with boiling hot water, which would be cool enough to drink by the time I got to my seat in the theater. He would drink his formula while I watched the trailers and the first part of the movie. After he burped, he slept through the rest of the movie, waking up at the end of the movie. I had a guy come up to me after the movie and tell me he wished he had stayed near me because he didn't hear any noise from us, but sat next to the people that talked through the whole movie. But that was me with my experience learning from my two previous kids.
Oh. Come on, you have been through a few times. You knew it. You was like, you know what? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, also there is that assumption. Like I said, I don't have an anti-baby, whatever the fuck that's mm-hmm. called, if that's even a thing. Right. I don't have it.
We do not hate kids. A lot of people think, you know, you just hate kids. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just don't have it. I don't know. You are either super quiet or super loud. I can't tell what's going on with your mic today.
What's happening here?
It's like when you talk regular, it's super quiet. Then you laugh, it spikes the level. So are you talking directly into the mic?
Okay, how's this?
Low? Hold on.
Okay. this is directly into it.
Okay, keep talking.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
All right, I'm gonna turn you up again.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G. That's loud.
Now it's too loud for you.
Oh, yeah. Do, 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 do. I mean, I can hear myself, but okay. I just sound really loud. I don't know how I sound nobody else.
Yeah, I'm looking at the levels here. Keep talking, say something else.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay. If you fine, I'm fine. Yeah,
just leave it at that.
Okay, if it ain't spiking nothing, I'm good.
When you laugh, it spikes, though. Oh. You laugh hard, and I think that's what made it go down so low.
Oh, okay.
So, I don't know. Lean back when you laugh. Okay? Pretend to be Fat Joe.
Lean back. Lean back. Okay, I'm moving the microphone from my mouth.
No, no. Because I told you it'd be too low when you talk regular. Oh, so lean back when you laugh.
My bad.
Do a hearty ha-ha.
Okay, because like I said, I sound super loud to me.
I can turn your headphones down, but... let's keep it right. Which one is your headphones?
I don't know. Which one is my headphones?
Is it getting lower?
No, hold on. Okay, hold on.
That one's not it. That's mine. So it must be this one. Is it this? No, that's me. Hold on. Technical issues. Hold on 1 second, guys.
No problem, because we used to have... Okay, I don't hear myself at all now.
Okay, hold on. Turning you up. Keep talking.
Yes, 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 y'all. In the place to be, y'all. I am here to the 1, 2, 3 checker. I don't hear me at all. Oh, I hear me now. That's good.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Gotta know your turn to Kumo D over there.
That's all the rapper you're gonna get out of me. You ain't gonna get none of this new school rap because I don't know how to rap like them.
All right. So Sarah writes, I forgot what I was gonna say in response to that last person, but yeah, that's just cool, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to Black Fathers, and I don't have an anti-baby thing, so you know, mm-hmm. A lot of times I feel like people making much ado out of nothing when they do the whole like, oh god, there's a kid in this restaurant. I'm just like, why are we acting like humans ain't been procreating forever? Just
agreed.
You was a kid once. What the fuck? They not gonna do nothing. Just weird. Astroworld Facts. This is from Sarah. Hey, Rod and Karen. I just listened to the episode where you talked about getting all the facts about Travis Scott. Absolutely agree. That's the best course of action when anything sets ablaze on the internet and people are racing to throw fuel on the fire. Saw a pretty good breakdown from Rebecca Watson. I don't know if you've seen it. My apologies if you have. If not, she's usually very good about extricating the facts and data out of a situation, examine the situation in a level-headed way. Here's the link. Yeah, she sent the link. It's like 8 or 10 minutes long. I watched it. But I'm not gonna play it on the show right now.
Okay.
Anyway, love the show. I'm glad you two are setting more reasonable schedules for yourselves. Frankly, it used to be sort of hard to keep up with all the content you folks put out. Slowing it down gives me a chance to catch up every week. Thanks for all the laughs and insight. Yeah, no doubt, man. I figured there'd be some people like that. Looking at the numbers for our downloads and stuff, they're really about the same no matter what. So, okay. Money wise, if we did 5 episodes a week, we probably would net a little bit more for the advertising revenue, because mm-hmm. we would have 2 more episodes a week that got, you know, $5,000 or some shit like that. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, I don't sacrifice some money for my mental health and be okay.
Like, yeah, and some weeks you might get 5 shows, just depending on how we feel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So but for right now, I just really like doing the show a couple times a week. It feels really comfortable. There's other things we're doing in the background and other stuff we're working with and working on that really makes this schedule much more conducive to just life. And it also makes it so I can like enjoy shit, play video games, watch TV. It's not just all work, podcast, research, podcast and stuff. All right, Black comedy question and related ideas from CNF, who says, hello, my name is Casanova. I'm writing because I was wondering if you knew why there were no black comedians doing a version of Mystery Science Theater 3K / Riff Tracks. I ask because I think everyone knows that a POC, especially black folks, invented movie riffing. Did we? I mean, I don't know that we didn't, but I definitely had never heard until this moment that black people invented that shit.
I can't believe it.
I think we may have invented talking in the movies. I don't know. Well, I mean, but that's just
screen talking at the TV. We gonna talk to it.
That's just more of a cultural stereotype that I'm promoting. Maybe even racism. I don't know, but
niggas talking through shit is definitely one of my beliefs that we invented, but I didn't know. Even today, you can't go to a movie in a black neighborhood without hearing live riffing, but like most things, black riffers don't get paid for it. White guys do it and white people call them brilliant. Black women do it and white people call the usher. That's hilarious. So I like to toss the idea your way. With YouTube and dozens of free public domain movies, it would just cost time and free alcohol to start. Let me know what you think. Well, technically, if I'm not mistaken, I believe there was a time when we used to do this back in the day. It wasn't on our show. It was Chris from Insanity Check / Movie Trailer Reviews now. But I remember we watched like stuff on Netflix together, because Xbox used to have this feature where you could watch TV shows and stuff together.
We use your avatars.
With your avatars, and that. Everyone could be watching the same picture, and you could be on your microphones talking to each other. Mm-hmm. And we would watch TV shows and movies,
Brandon
and then
us, yes,
yeah. Eventually, they started recording those and putting them out. I know they still don't do it, mm-hmm. but it was a thing for a while. My favorite one was when we watched Steven Seagal Lawman, his TV show, and slowly realized it was racist as we were watching it, and that was a fun time. But, yeah. I mean, the main thing that you brought up was that it would be work and time. And those are two things I'm trying to cut back on. Less, mm-hmm. less work, less time. Less work, more time, I guess, mm-hmm. for me. I'll say this one's from Rebecca, who says, white man in a black barbershop. Hello, Rod and Karen. It's been a minute since I've written to you folks, but I'm still listening. You've done motivated me to email you with your petty bickering about the Latino religious man scamming the poor woman in Riverside. Rod, the difference between what that man did and what Tammy Faye and Bob did is the word donation. They didn't charge you for those prayer beads / who's a what's it bullshit. They insisted that you donate to them and they would send you those lovely baubles as a gift. What he did is the flat out charge for a service, and that is why he's going to jail and the other two didn't. At least that is my non-lawyer, uneducated ass thought. Anyway, I love you guys. Keep up the great work, and I'll keep listening. Sincerely, Rebecca. First of all,
thank you,
Rebecca. It's been a while, but thank you for writing in. We appreciate you. Second of all, bullshit. That sound like some white man words. That sound like some real, like, quite it might white type of talking, where it's like, oh, look at this semantics. Donations. I watched those shows back in the day when grandma would have them on the living room. Nigga, if you didn't donate a certain amount, you wasn't getting no bees and no towels. So to me, that sound like a sale. You see what I'm saying? That's not no donation. They didn't say send any amount. They was like, nigga, $25 for these tear towels or you ain't getting these blessings.
Not the tear towels.
And the tear towels
we
gonna change your life.
We have solved ourselves.
It sound like when
from the tears of Jesus.
When the white man does the same thing, society sees it as positive.
These that come up by the blood of the lamb.
But when the black man, when the Latinx man dares to walk.
You calling it racism?
Yeah, I'm calling it racism. What the fuck else could it be? Ain't no difference. See, this is where my agnostic / atheism type of thing hits up against so much shit, because I'm like, why do these other people think they shit better? It's the same shit. It's the same shit. Oh, he gotta go to jail. Why? It's a lot of motherfuckers y'all need to come get. That's right up in them pulpits. What? Oh, cause they got more people at day church. They exempt. Cause they ain't fucking, they not in a strip mall location. They can't go to jail. Get the fuck out of here. Take their ass to jail too. Lying motherfuckers. Oh, it's different. He kept the receipts. I'm like, come on.
Not the receipts.
Oh, he was faking when he, if his blessings and exorcism was fake and now he gotta go to jail, whose exorcisms are real? What's the difference between a real exorcism and a fake one? One take checks, one take credit. What's the difference?
One take COD.
I gotta go to jail because y'all don't believe in my brown religion. But the motherfucking white man come up in here and be like, we'll take $300 to go. And it's like, well, that's different. He said donation. Newsy writes in, what up, Newsy?
Hey, baby.
Elected judge, hello, Rod and Karen. In a recent story about the judge making inappropriate comments about George Floyd, you talked about the judge being elected. When I was in and out of court for graffiti, my attorney told me that some judges are elected officials and they don't have to have a law background. So whoever issued my $100,000 bond for my nonviolent, non-drug related first offense was probably an elected official, not someone who actually knew the law and who used bonds as punishment whenever he had an axe to grind, said my attorney.
That's a lot of money.
A hundred racks?
Right. Nah. And a lot of times ain't bond like 10%?
Well, that's, I think, yeah. What the, how so do you do not, that? It's a $100 bond, so don't you had to come up with $10,000 just to get out? Honestly, dog, for a $100,000 bond, you should be allowed to go out and shoot one person. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, cool, I agreed to the terms, I got $100,000, but like, what I did is like $4,000. So y'all owe me $96,000 worth of bond. That's at least one, like, murder. You know what I'm saying? At least an armed robbery.
Be high. At least let it be worth it.
Like, I'm fucking, like, graffiti? Nah, I get to, like, drive a car into, like, the side of a building.
Nonviolent,
for
right.
$100,000.
I'm not even violent.
Also, during one of my court appearances, one of my attorney partners represented me, and before we went in, he said, oh, we got Judge so-and-so. We're lucky. He loves Italians because he was Italian.
They be yelping, you know. I bet you they probably have like an internal lawyer Yelp where everybody like Yelp and reviews the lawyer, the judges. I like this judge. He likes Italians. 5 stars.
Here's my question: your lawyer's Italian, and the judge loves Italians. I mean, I guess that's relevant. What's more relevant to me? How does he feel about niggers? Because I happen to be black, so. You know, is he gonna look in there and be like, oh, gabagool, mozzarella, I love you, you my man, this black defendant though, what's up with him? Is he from the motherland? He from the old country? No? Okay, $100,000 bond. He says the court system is awesome and not fucked up at all. Love, Newsy. Thanks, Newsy.
Thank you.
John writes in, insurrection investigation and CRT panic fail. Good morning, Rod and Karen. I just wanted to write in to thank you for your cautiously optimistic and slow approach on the investigations of the January 6th insurrection. So many people seem to think we're going to see Trump and his cohorts perked walked out in orange jumpsuits. Mm-mm. The minute Garland was appointed, and view anything less as a terrible failure.
Right.
It's so damn annoying. Mm-hmm. It is.
All they do is motherfucking complain. Y'all don't do nothing. Arrest them. It's like, the system don't work like that.
Yeah, you just gotta stay away from
I ignore them. I started muting them and shit. It's like, y'all are fucking annoying.
Yeah, for me, for my own mental health, I just had to stay away from people like that. And I think it's just everyone's anxious. No one feels in control. Even people that want good things to happen, there's so much angst and anger and so much shit happening that it's like nothing's happening fast enough. It's not happening good. And the realism of expectations is just out the window. Like, I remember when January 6th happened, thinking to myself, like, oh, it's going to be a while because it's so many people.
Right.
And I remember people being like, no, they should. Why is this taking so long? I was like, because if 600 people do anything, there's no court jurisdiction that can handle that, period.
Right.
None of them in America can handle 600 of anything right away. It's going to be a long process. Mm-hmm. And thank God they were stupid and they gave a lot of evidence.
Right.
So I don't feel like a lot of them will escape mm-hmm. punishment, but as far as like those who were very complicit. Mm-hmm. But also at the time I was like, the motherfuckers that just like walked in there, they not gonna get a long time in jail because there's nothing like for it's gonna get to the point where it's like, if you weren't actively up in here trying to do something, we gonna have to let you go because we can't prosecute 600 cases. And I'm sure the defense lawyers and state defense attorneys will be like, yeah, let's drag this shit out. Everybody go to trial. Everybody put, and then it's going to take years and years and years. Mm-hmm. And nobody's, by the time people go to jail, if they go to jail, it'll be 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years later. Mm-hmm.
And my guess is these are the easy trials. These are the ones they're pleading out to. Mm-hmm. A great sign is that I'm starting to notice what the DOJ is recommending for sentencing is exactly what they're getting, which that's huge to me, because I would have been worried if they're like, we recommended, you know, 60 months, and then the judge was like, I'm gonna give them 20. Cause then it's like, okay, they're not, these motherfuckers ain't no one gonna get in trouble.
Yeah. And
now the shit is like, I recommended 42 months and the judge said 41. And I'm like,
I can deal with that.
And these are the low bar people. Mm-hmm. Like some of the people that went viral and famous they were like the least quote unquote harmful people.
Right.
I know that doesn't
they
feel
were doing
that
it for the gram.
Yeah, it doesn't feel that way because we're on the internet, we're on social media, and it's like, but this guy went viral, he must be the fucking da-da. But no, QAnon Shaman is just some fucking loser that
had an outfit on,
had an outfit that made him go viral and was like very camera friendly. He was just he's what I like to call an insurrection slut. You know these people, they go to an insurrection and the first thing they're looking for is a fucking camera. Like, oh, look at me, I'm in the insurrection, woo! And so he was doing that bullshit, and that's why he went viral, and everybody thinks he's like some leader in this movement. He ain't nobody.
No, he not the one with the power.
Now when they get to them 3%ers, your boy gonna be paying a lot of attention.
The 3 to 1%.
When they get to that motherfucking, when they start getting to some of these organizations, that's when I'm gonna be like, yeah, what was they talking about in the group chat? But yeah,
them conversations is gonna be completely different.
But yeah, Merrick Garland, man, he's a guy that's putting out a lot of Trump fires, and he's doing, in my opinion, a great job, outstanding job. And one of the things I like about him is, to me, it is very clear what his priorities are. Mm-hmm. And one of his big priorities is fighting against white supremacy. Mm-hmm. All the fucking, you know, Twitter pundits and fucking like, listen, we should have went with the blackity black person, the blackest person I've ever seen, like, because he's not gonna do what Derek Mayer. Well, you were wrong. None of them are gonna go back and say they were wrong.
Mm-mm. Like I said, me and Roger talked about this. I will say that soft-spoken man, when he was talking, when President Biden appointed him, I was listening to what he was saying. I was like, he getting their ass. I'm like, let's go.
I told you I listened to that interview of him where he talked about how he was against white nationalism and how his whole career he's been fighting against white nationalism going back to Timothy McVeigh.
Oof.
I was like, oh yeah, we good, we in good hands, that's what I need, you know. Like there's this idea that and I guess it's just because of social media, and it's just so easy to do, and the optics are so easy to do, but there's this idea going around where it's like, all these white men are trash, they not gonna do it, they can't get nothing done. Mm-hmm. And I hear them. I'm not saying that's not true more often than not and all this shit. But in general, it does a great disservice because it lowers the bar for white dudes when people do that, number one.
Mm-hmm.
So that anything they do, and people end up being like, it's great. He just did. He breathed. Thank God. But then the second part of it is people start ignoring things that are obviously pointing out the flaws in their logic and where they were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it's felt with Merrick Garland, and that's how it's felt with Joe Biden in large part.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the shit he's passed and gotten accomplished are things people tell me, one, he didn't want to do, two, he wouldn't do, and three, he couldn't do. Well, I don't know, a lot of these agendas and shit, one of the reasons it's hard to roast him for a lot of those people that was anti him the whole time is because he getting it done, and he's not getting shit that he started his campaign on done, he's getting stuff he ended his campaign on done. Like, yo, we need to do this. Like, okay, you know what, Elizabeth Warren got a better plan than me, we doing her plan. And that's one of the reasons I didn't want to hear that shit about Bernie when they were like, well, these other people dropped out the race for Biden, right after he negotiated with them to be like, hey, here, your thing is child tax credit, cool, I'm gonna incorporate that into my plan.
Everybody dropped out all of a sudden. He started campaigning on the shit that they was talking about.
Right, and that's important. You can't be so stubborn and stuck to your own shit that you end up losing the race, but at least you can go, hey, at least I never budged. Well, honestly, I want you to win.
want you to win.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I need,
what's the point in doing it and you lose?
Yeah, I need a Democrat to win. So anyway, all that stuff to say, like, yeah, people, and I get it, people are emotional. Mm-hmm. It's very of the moment. A lot of analysis you're gonna hear is gonna be very like, this is how I feel. And that's good to a certain extent, that people are open and honest about how they feel.
Right.
But how they feel does not overpower factual information for me.
Mm-mm, not
so
at all.
I can recognize, like, a good example is with this Kyle Rittenhouse shit. I saw people get mad at other black people. Like, black people get mad at other black people because black people are like, I'm upset.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
which makes sense.
Whether they were upset or surprised or shocked, which you didn't see a lot of people, you almost never see people say they're surprised or shocked. So, you know, but people will treat it that way. It's a straw man argument. Like, oh, well, y'all surprised, huh? And there's an evil, ugly, negative energy to that.
Mm-hmm.
It's unhelpful as fuck. And it's anti-black to me.
Right.
Because these are black people having emotions on a day that is significant to them. Because even if they think, I'm surprised because it was white people, and I thought they were gonna make somebody pay for white people dying, and
right,
in this case they didn't. Oh, so you never heard of Freedom Riders? Like, oh, are you being helpful right now?
Right.
You feel better about yourself? Because what I really believe about you right now is that you're as hurt as these people, but you're picking on them to avoid the fact that you hurt too.
Right.
And we all stuck in this shit together because we all black and you can't leave. So now you gotta turn on your fellow brother or sister or whatever just because you don't want to avoid the inside feelings, and you just like, this does suck.
Right.
It does suck. It's not black people's fault.
Mm-mm.
Them, you know, it feels like very much like, I'm gonna beat you up so that when you go out into the world as a black person and it beats you up, you can say, I prepared you. Well, I don't need your fucking tough preparation because it's just making me hate your ass too. So leave your little petty ass feelings to your side and leave me out of it. You know what I mean? Like, you don't need to go chastise anybody to feel the way you feel. But I get it. We're all on the internet and that's what people do. So that kind of feels like what happened with a lot of this, with a lot of political talk lately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when it comes to like Merrick Garland, everybody shit done, he ain't gonna do shit, it's terrible. He starts doing stuff. It's not at a speed that would probably be reckless and have a lot of things overturned.
All right.
A lot of precedent that looks like, with breaking all this precedent to the point where it looks like you're targeting people is not good. Targeting people specifically on your own is not good.
But you can do that on the internet because you're not held accountable or responsible for shit.
Right. A great podcast I suggest y'all listen to is a podcast called Sisters-in-Law. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing show. But these women are all lawyers, former prosecutors, defense attorneys, mm-hmm, all this stuff.
Very
legal experts. And I listen to them every week because they put shit into legal perspective and they talk about precedent a lot. And they'll be like, you know, people feel like this thing is moving too slow. Let me explain to y'all how this is actually moving at warp speed for our process. It's never moved as fast before, but also it can't move faster than this because it comes to a point where you're just doing shit like, we're got a list of political enemies we're targeting. And then you give them this leverage and this ground to have everything thrown out.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if you just take office January 21st and go, bring me Steve Bannon, he's going to jail, then everybody's like, oh, wait a minute, what the fuck is Joe Biden and Merrick Garland doing?
Right.
The evidence has to lead to them. Same thing with the insurrection folks. My guess is these motherfuckers is talking.
Mm-hmm.
So
they sitting them in there going, we got this, we got emails, we got Paula, we got phone calls, we got text messages. Right.
Right. And some of these people are going to eventually be testifying or some shit, I bet,
mm-hmm,
against other folks. I would be surprised if it doesn't come down to that, because some of these people seeing this jail time and how the judge is backing it is going to be like, well, hold up, ain't my trial next week? You told me that, you know, I might only get like a year in jail. This sound like I'm going to get 4 years. Who do I need to talk to? All right, anyway, I gotta say that you and Karen's tendency to not jump the gun on shit and your willingness to modify your position when information changes is really one of the things that is such a breath of fresh air compared to so many other podcasts and social media. Thank you, because sometimes you don't know, and then also just shit changes, and you know, I try not to have too much of an ego about sticking to shit when I know I'm wrong.
It's like, okay, you proved me wrong, fuck it, I can let it go. And honestly, man, if you I'm not doing this shit to be petty, but just say, if you're a petty type of person, I don't know why more petty people haven't figured out letting shit go hurt people's feelings way more than if you stick to it.
Man, listen, I am the queen of that, because you'll be fine and they will be fucking fuming. Like, and instead of them changing you and how and having control over your emotions, all of a sudden you have control over theirs. You just show up and then they mad and then they all bent out of shape. Okay, well, yeah. I'm fine.
And like I said, I would not do it from a petty place, just because I try not to do that kind of behavior. Mm-hmm. It's just, it doesn't feed me. It really drains me, and it's I find it counterproductive to all my flow in life. Mm-hmm. But in general, if me and my friend disagree about something, or me and some person are disagreeing, they present some shit to me I did not know, I'm not gonna pretend to know it or be like, oh, but I'm good. All right, I didn't know that shit. All right, now I know. Now I'll act accordingly. Oh, you don't want to talk about? No, you said you were right. I was wrong. You know, this one is gonna be controversial, about, you know, there was a dude that was heavy on, he thought I was being fucked up towards Kyle Rittenhouse when all this shit first happened, right? And because my whole thing was like, I don't know, he left the house with and got a gun and shot some people. I haven't needed to follow this case or gave a fuck. If y'all listen to this podcast, you can probably count on one hand the amount of times we talked about Kyle Rittenhouse. Mm-hmm. And you definitely ain't never heard us really go into detail, because I haven't even read those articles. Mm-mm. I didn't follow the case. I didn't really watch any of those videos with the biased judge and his, you know, machinations. The thing that caught me up on it was on the trial was sisters-in-law this morning. That's the thing that caught, that's like, okay, I trust them. I know they're thorough. I know that they're fair.
Right.
And, you know, they all kind of came to the same conclusion that I had when I first heard of this shit, which is, that's going to be hard to prove. You know what I'm saying? And I don't mean that in some, like, he didn't do nothing, but just, y'all know the court of law and how it goes. It's going to be very hard to prove at this protest that this motherfucker was not acting in self-defense, because our laws are fucked.
Mm-hmm.
You got a gun, you shoot some people, it's almost on the people getting shot to prove why they shouldn't have got shot.
Right.
Like, unless you literally go to like a school or a church or something, most people are gonna be like, well, what was they doing? And at that time it was like Antifa, quote unquote, and protest clash, and no offense to those white men that got killed, but it was a lot of white people fighting white people on behalf of fascism and George Floyd and all this shit. It was very weird. Portland, Oregon, I remember having a lot of these clashes.
Mm-hmm.
For me, no, I don't, hey, look, black people, I don't blame you. Don't stay in the house. Who gives a fuck? But that, a lot of that shit last year was white people fighting white people. I still remember the videos in DC and, I want to say St. Louis, but I'm not sure about the second one. But it was black protesters telling people, why y'all destroying this Target and shit like that? Why are you burning shit in the street?
Right.
Y'all don't live here. You drove here from out of town and like burned a police car in the middle of a fucking peaceful protest. And now police are fucking us up and shit and bringing pepper spray and stuff. And that's on yo not black ass coming here thinking it's a game when it's not a fucking game to us. Burning down Wendy's and shit like that, and people being, and I, you know, Twitter, everyone's in the house making these assumptions like, that's because black people are angry and we're doing that. And it's like, but the people on the ground are saying that we didn't do that.
Right. It was like, me, we gotta leave here. When y'all fucking go back to the suburbs, we got to deal with this bullshit.
Yeah. So I just remember at the time thinking, some white people got killed, white on white fighting. With the underlying thing being, at the time, Jacob Blake being shot by the cops. But it was like, here's the place, everyone's on the internet, it's a pandemic. The same way I felt about a lot of George Floyd protests, felt like everyone was in the house and this is the one thing you could do that wasn't a violation of the protocols necessarily, or it was considered worthwhile. But a lot of people just wanted to be around other people, And I was like, yeah, take advantage of this goodwill, because eventually these people will go back to the house and they won't give a fuck about us. So right. I ain't mad at you for marching. I ain't mad at you for getting your deal out of it, your money, whatever you need to do. So my point being, I didn't know if that dude would go to jail, because my main thing was like, the only way I was rationalizing him go to jail was like, he shot some white people. I thought if he shot some black people, I was like, he definitely ain't going to jail. Shot some white people, I said, maybe he go to jail. I don't know. You know, stranger things have happened, but he ain't going to jail. Sounds like that judge is the main reason he ain't going to jail. So anybody pulling the like, what did you expect shit is tripping, because what they didn't expect was that specific judge, which no one fucking, everyone that has watched that trial has been like, yeah, that judge was very eccentric and different. And every ruling he made pretty much favored, you know, Kyle Rittenhouse and his defense team. Okay. All right, cool. So I think that the thing for me was I didn't follow the trial. So when I heard on Sisters-in-Law, one of the dudes pointed his gun at Kyle Rittenhouse and admitted it on the stand, and he was the one that got shot and lived, and the other people was wresting the gun out of his hand and all this other stuff. I'm willing to be like, I didn't know that. I didn't follow that. I didn't care about that. I thought the dude was a piece of shit from the second I found out he left his house to go to another state and defend property. I'll never not feel that way. You know what I mean? Like, I gotta be honest. That seems like such a fucking fucked up thing to do for a kid. And I can't imagine a good person doing that, palling around with, you know, white supremacists and people like that, racist Republicans and shit like that, the racist Republicans that are touting him as a hero. Seeing that, I can't think of that kid as a good kid. I can't think of him as a good person, because I would imagine that even if I did something like that and I regretted it, I'm not kicking it with, you know, Ricky Schroeder and rubbing it in people's faces. I'm not going to the breaking my probation or whatever that was to go kick it with like the Proud Boys or some shit. I just can't imagine a good person doing that. I can imagine a good person shooting someone in self-defense, but I would think a good person would go, well, I regret this, I feel horrible, yet it was me or them in my mind, and I'm glad I'm still alive. But no, there's nothing to celebrate. But people celebrating this, that's different than just, I think justice was done, or hey, I figured he wouldn't go to jail because they didn't have the right amount of evidence. That's different. Like putting him on a t-shirt, gloating about it, arguing with people on social media, that glee feels so unwarranted and so different. And it does point out how divided we are. Cause another thing I didn't share, cause I didn't find any joy in it, was all the fucking memes about him crying. This is not a game. That's not a joke to me. But it did feel like it just, like everything in America, came down to like these divided politics, and people was taking these wins and these dunks where they could get them, and it was funny to dunk on this kid crying in court, this grown man, whatever y'all want to call him. But it was funny for LeBron James to quote tweet him and say that shit or whatever. And to me, I was like, this seemed like it's become a game to people. And once it becomes a game, well, when you lose, the other team is gonna be like, ha ha, and now they all ha ha, and it don't feel good, it don't feel right, you know what I'm saying? So that's what it made me think about. But on that note, I changed mine. When I learned more, because I wasn't following this, and I was like, yeah, okay, I can see how he got off. It was that simple for me. I'm not angry or upset. I have no emotional value to it, because I never was attached to this shit in the first place. I didn't even really talk about it because I didn't care. But yeah, when I was like, oh, so someone pointed a gun at him, okay, oh, they rushed him, or oh, there's video, all right, well, I guess he got off. I don't know. On that note, I thought you might appreciate this article, which shows that while CRT panic got a ton of hype in media, especially with regards to Virginia. Only 28% of conservatives who ran for school boards on it ended up winning. It was far from a winning strategy, even in fairly conservative areas. Relatedly, did you see that Carroll School District of South Lake podcast fame is being investigated by the Department of Education for multiple claims of racial and gender discrimination? Yes, I did see that. Shout out to the Biden administration.
Come on.
One more thing you would have never happened if Trump was still president. Thanks, Biden. P.S. Trader Joe's pork buns also come out great in the steamer. Cheers, John. Thanks, John. Mm-hmm. It's kind of information. Honestly, I read all that to get to that sentence.
Come on. That's the news I really want to know about.
But nah, that's great to hear about the CRT shit, because mm-hmm. it could be a lot of media hype. It's good to see that it's a losing strategy in some places too.
Right.
Because it also feels like a desperate thing that campaigns and candidates that don't have any ideas can run on.
Mm-hmm. They don't have any substance.
Yeah, the boogeyman of CRT. And it's like, well, you didn't have a campaign in the first place. Let's see, this is from Rob, who says, is Rob Hertz again? Hi Karen and Rod, as usual, I appreciate your takes on the issues of the day. I love the fact you guys cause me to think more critically about my opinions and reevaluate my conscious and unconscious biases. As a late game millennial, I'm also impressed by the ways that the high school students of today are ready and able to combat social injustice when they see it, albeit not always in the most effective ways. I respect the awareness they have. Lastly, I just want to say, you all taking the time you need to avoid burnout is more than understandable. I started listening, guys, when you got your Spotify deal, and was surprised y'all did this every day. However, now that there are less episodes per week, A, it caused me to appreciate each episode more, and B, I get to go back in time and get all the jokes and references from past episodes. As always, keep doing what y'all do, and I'll be here listening. Have a great week, Rob.
Oh, thank you, baby.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the kids might not always get it, you know, the best way, but shit, we didn't.
Mm-mm. And I don't demand that they be perfect.
Yeah, that's what kids do. And so every once in a while, kids fuck around and find some new shit. You be like, ooh,
I didn't know we could do that.
Oh, that's better. Always on point. This is from Tinashe, who says, hi Karen and Ron, it's been a long time since I wrote in. I felt compelled to write in to thank you for creating your platform and using it to advocate for everyone who needs a hand on the shoulder, be it immigrants, LGBT folk, well-meaning community leaders and politicians, hell, even celebrities. I have tried navigating Spotify/Apple podcast sites and Apple and apps to try to leave a 5-star review, but for the life of me, I can't get to the section/link where I can leave my review. I have accounts with both platforms. If possible, can you please add a structure to your website as to how to leave reviews? As well, I mean, honestly, you can YouTube that or Google that, mm-hmm. and I promise you, better instructions than what we could come up with is out there.
And the thing with Spotify, I think it may have been a test run, y'all. Like, yeah. All jokes, they did it for like a few weeks, and then they took it down, and I haven't seen it since. But but I remember I actually showed Roger. I was like, oh, Roger, and I actually left 5 stars on several podcasts because I knew it was there. And then I went back one day and it was just gone. I really do hope it's something that they bring back, because I think the rating system would matter on that site.
As great and far reaching as y'all are, I assume many people, including myself, are trying to put 5 on it and struggling to find the link to the on these tech bro platforms. I'm not as tech savvy as I should be, therefore I would like to apologize if you already had this covered. Yeah, I say give it a shot with the Google and YouTube. If that don't work, write us back. But mm-hmm. I really think you could find it, because that's how I found it.
Mm-hmm.
On to the substance. I would like to thank you for the manner in which you cover coronavirus, the harm it has inflicted on us all, and the nefarious characters it has exposed. Honestly, it takes skill, compassion, and genuine love to interweave doom and gloom news and comedy, and for that I would like to let you know how thankful I am. 2 members of my family have been afflicted with the Delta, both in Africa, with our poor healthcare systems and lack of vaccines. Thankfully, both recovered. This was a tough time, and listening to your informative, comedic, comforting take on the virus had therapeutic value, which I cannot overstate. Secondly, I would like to thank you for your balanced and nuanced analysis regarding the toxic fandom around Chris Pratt. Honestly, the outrage mob have become a menace, rebels without a cause, army without a war, world in social media and unprecedented access like a baby waving a loaded gun. Star-Lord has been a beacon of image slash social media management. He has kept his politics as far away from his public image and bag, Letitia Wright, Jenna Carano could learn a lot from Pratt, as possible, and this level of abuse is just sad. I would also like to comment on his so-called radical church. I'm well acquainted with Hillsong. That church is as left-leaning as any church can get. They are more famous for their music concert-esque approach to worship. You'd mistake their gospel music for rock and roll and pop music. They are hardly Westboro Baptist Church. Anyone ranting and raving about Hillsong being white right-wing evangelical has no idea what they are talking about.
It did seem weird that, because like I said, other people go there, they're not ostracized from the community.
You know, whenever I try to look up like why the internet hates Chris Pratt, you know, those BuzzFeed like 21 things, to me they're all stretches, like these huge fucking like parasocial weird ass stretches that people do. And people just need people to hate on the internet.
Yes, sir.
And sometimes people just fall into it. You know, I thought the Chrissy Teigen shit went too far. It's, you know, and it's so weird to listen to people that, cause we've all been on the internet, had podcasts for years. I've listened to you be fucked up. I've read you be fucked up. I've seen you be fucked up because you've seen me do the same. We've all had these moments, and yet now we want to pull the card like this irredeemable piece of shit. It's like, is that the standard we want to go with? Because I don't agree with that.
Mm-mm. And it's also one of those things where it's easy to get caught up in it. Nobody is above being influenced, particularly if you spend any large amounts of time on social media, be it Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever it is. You can be easily influenced by that, because you know, at one period of time I got caught up in that where certain people brought up and I got mad, and I thought about it one day, why am I mad? I don't know. Do I even care? No, I don't. Like, I had to actually question myself, and not enough people are willing to question why are they mad, why are they upset, and where's this rage, and is this rage valid, and is it something in, you know, inside of them that this person has done against them? Probably not, because they're a goddamn celebrity, so you don't actually know them. So unless this person has actually done a plight directly against you, you know, and I understand people do fucked up shit, please don't get me wrong, and I understand people being mad and angry about the things that they do and calling them out. I don't have a problem with that at all. But there are some people who, regardless of right, wrong, or indifferent, this person could do something great, and these same people will be like, they not shit. So, you know, people don't really question that sometimes, you know? And so I had to question myself, do I care? Nah. Does this mean this much to me? No. And I began to let that shit go. And you know what? I began to be less angry and less mad and less upset about shit that really didn't matter. Because there's shit to actually be mad and upset about. But those things actually require substance. They actually require effort. They actually require dismantling a system, and that's the shit nobody actually wants to be mad about. So instead of being mad about your governor, your senator, your local officials, instead of being mad, pissed off about shit like that, you're redirected about bullshit that don't matter, just so you can deflect from the fact that you're upset about other things.
Yeah, and for me, I think I just think people are angry and they need a place to go. I saw this woman, Dr. Jessica something on Twitter, said she was watching the Will Smith movie thing, you know, the King Richard movie about Serena and Venus, right? And so, yeah, Dr. Jessica Taylor. This is a common thing that I've seen for like a month now, and it's basically people didn't know from seeing the title and all this stuff, and then, you know, they learned. And which is essentially, she didn't know Serena and Venus executive produced this movie. She's a white lady, it appears, but there have been black people from the fucking time the first trailer dropped that people got, they were looking for an angle on Twitter and they would say this shit. They go, why is it named King Richard when it's about Serena and Venus? And, you know, me personally, I obviously never had a problem with that. Mm-hmm. Not sitting around looking for a problem in every fucking thing.
Right.
But this is the internet. They look for problems in everything. And a lot of these motherfuckers would say that shit a month or two ago when it first got announced. And then people would go, well, you know, Serena and Venus produced it and they want it to be named after this because it's a tribute to their father and they love their father. Right? Well, reasonable. I got it. Cool. And But there, every day there's a new person asking, hey, why is it named King Richard? I mean, these are two most powerful women in sports, and the movie's named after a man, blah blah blah. This woman has, as of right now, looking on my phone, 1906 quote tweets. Every last one of them is saying the same thing, which is, we are tired at y'all white women not knowing da 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 da. We need more black journalists. You don't understand. And it's like, to me, I'm like, I don't know, after the first, I don't know, 1,000, y'all didn't think she gets the point. Like, it's still people going. And I was like, damn, she getting fried.
Because it's just something to do for the day. I was excited. Like, yeah, a lot of people.
Because you're no longer informing her.
Mm-mm.
Right? So, because it's no way you think she didn't get the message.
Right.
So, you're no longer informing her. And I remember someone saying on Twitter, like, she deserves it or something. Like, because I said, damn, she getting fried. Like, well, she deserves it. And I'm like, I disagree. I don't know. I think there's a, hey man, you didn't know this, and we didn't know it either at the time, and now you know. And then there's like, you dirty bitch. You know what I mean? Like, where it's like, dog, it ain't even that important.
And she's not personally attacking you. And that goes back to the statement I said before. I think that, and you know, we've kind of talked about this, for a lot of people, they're bored. They have nothing to do. And so this is something to entertain their day. Like, for a lot of people, and we talked about this before, if there's not a fire, you will start a fire. You will become an arsonist in starting a fire. And they'll be like, who started that fire? But like, you bitch, you got the gasoline. I didn't start that fire. Yeah, you did, because it all leads back to you, because it really wasn't a situation there, but you made it into a situation because you were bored. And so now, right, everything's a blaze.
And look, everybody's retweeting it with the same comments.
Mm-hmm, like, because you're not saying nothing new.
They're not even retweeting other people quote tweet, like, well, they already said this, let me retweet this. It's like, no, I need to make a comment myself,
because it becomes about
this. Is why we need more black journalists. Inspiration: a black father raises black daughters, propelling them towards greatness in epidemic. News at 11. Toxic white feminism in one tweet. White feminists try not to be racist, challenge impossible. Shutting the fuck up is free. Like no one's adding anything to the conversation except piling on and then high-fiving each other.
Mm-hmm.
And when you point out that is kind of a fucked up notion that we have,
right,
it's like, well, you don't who are you to point out that this is starting to look like some type of weird hate group type, mm-hmm, behavior. Yeah. And yeah, I don't care. Then don't like me. What are you gonna do? Right. Quote tweet me and everybody gonna talk bad? I don't really give a fuck. Y'all, that's not cool, and it's not well, and it's not rational, because some of these offenses are getting tinier and tinier, and then you blow them up like they big. Like, just like the woman said, these niggers got a movie. Like, she didn't say that.
Mm-mm.
And everyone else, like I said, there were lots of people who made this point, and it's just a matter of, I didn't know that. And a lot of people didn't know that. And once they know it, it's like, instead of going, oh yeah, I learned that, I remember that too, they go, no, my turn to dunk on this bitch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the truth be told, for a lot of people, it's one of those things, but this is their fun. Like once, yes, I understood, yes, that, it made the behavior easier. It's like, oh, this is what you consider a good time. And so I have to tap out, because I don't consider this a good time. I don't consider being the 20,000th person to reply to something that people have been talking about all week.
Yeah, I remember when I said that about the Ava DuVernay thing, like, y'all going too hard on Ava. Is Ava, y'all can stop pretending that she's some type of controversial, right, sellout that don't care about black people. That's the exact opposite of who Ava DuVernay is. So just stop. Like, you, what are y'all doing? So I see you really think that, like, so now I gotta go, because I said the rational thing, which is, this is very short-sighted, and you motherfuckers will pretend you didn't harass this woman. You know, that woman has had her tweets made so that only people she follow can reply. It's been a year. So she used to interact with everybody, and now she don't. And it's like, that's the lesson everyone keeps learning, is because y'all motherfuckers are toxic. And anyone that's not down with the toxic shit is gonna be like, well, here goes this weirdo. Like, no, fuck you, man. You're the one tripping. I didn't expect to live in a world where there's no fucking Republicans in Hollywood. Right? I'm not the crazy one here.
I'm not the nutso.
Yeah, just leave me the fuck out of your shit and I'm cool. Go do the part. Every workplace got motherfuckers that don't agree on politics. That's just gonna happen. If anything, the motherfuckers that don't say shit are the ones that I'm like, oh, okay, well, I appreciate that guy for being a Republican I disagree with, but don't need to come to work and let me know.
Right, just and like everybody at their regular fucking jobs.
Yeah, like the Chris Pratt thing just feels weird, and I don't care. It's the Taylor Swift thing. All this shit feels weird to me. And there's plenty of people volunteering every day doing horrible shit, saying horrible shit that motherfuckers could freely hate, but that's not good enough. That's not high wire. That's not difficult enough. They need a degree of difficulty of finding a way to secretly hate a motherfucker. So now he got to be roasting his own kid.
Right.
For us.
And also a lot of that is a lot of the people, those who you're talking about, they don't give a fuck or they don't pay you no attention. And right. So a lot of times you're not going to go after certain people because you right. know they already have a fuck y'all mentality. Right. And y'all know this. Y'all know they're not listening. Y'all know they're not going to signal boost. Y'all know they're not going to strive and affect y'all. Y'all already know this. So you don't waste your time on those people because y'all know that they've already stuck their middle fingers up in two ways. Either they don't interact at all, or either they pick and choose when they interact.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's such a great point. That's an amazing point, because I think that's one of the reasons you see them go at people that like Chrissy Teigen, because they know she does
they
care
know
about
you're gonna
her
get
image.
A response.
They know that she doesn't want to come off like a bad person,
right?
And then there's people that are like, I'm just a piece of shit, and they're like, well, there's nothing to be done here,
right? And they will bypass you.
Like 50 Cent will forever, he figured out the Matrix, he will forever have a place in the culture, because 50 Cent said, I don't care what y'all are on, I'm gonna be terrible and I don't care, I hope you get upset by me.
Mm-hmm.
And they get upset, but they support and feed everything he does.
Right. And so not trying to funny when you said they actually have broke the Matrix, because right. they showed everybody, you not giving a fuck, you actually are rewarded for actually not giving a fuck. Like, yeah. like not trying to funny, like that's actually what they're showing. You caring and sometimes can actually be a downfall, because you caring and actually interacting with these fuckers can be the problem.
Yeah. Finally, thanks for your political commentary, which has been spot on. I absolutely love the These Niggas Trying to Steal the Election segment. The intro music, the way y'all cover the fuckery, y'all are really in a league of your own. Thank you. I've never met any of the Blackout to this nation, but consider any listeners and guests as community, and hate to comment on other listeners' comments, but the Bernie supporters' comments really ground my gears. Look, I don't expect everyone to 100% agree with y'all, but come on. A swath of DNC emails were hacked. Dedicated burners were observing the 16 and 20 primaries. Not one single case of voter fraud. No burners were turned away from the polling station. Bernie was on every ballot. Where is the rigging? Where? If possible, please add the clip of Killer Mike. Okay, hold on, let me find that. First of all, I love that clip. I don't have
always
enough.
Always need a reason to play it.
I don't, I
that's
never
my
have,
jam
never have enough excuses. Yeah.
Where like when you went like start call like you got those
right that yeah where is this evidence? Yes, leaked DNC emails indicated the top DNC brass didn't fuck with Bernie. Does that surprise anyone?
Mm-mm.
This nigga's entire mantra was sell out the Dem establishment, corrupt Dem establishment. Sell out Dem establishment, corrupt Dem establishment. Of course the dislike was reciprocated. What the fuck?
Right. You didn't support nobody. Come on, right. dog.
Honestly, it's like, I never understood the argument, but mostly even if you agree with their argument, it wasn't the same as rigging an election.
Right.
Like, you didn't find evidence that they did anything to impede that dude, following the process. And that's to me, the smoking gun would have been like, oh, they purposely left him off a ballot, or they purposely did this thing that wouldn't favor him, like that is not in the rules or something like that. But it was all shit where it was like, it basically, you didn't say, oh God, thank God Bernie is here. I love that what he's doing to our party. I love that he's, you know, making it seem like we're corrupt. Well, you didn't say that. You must hate him. Honestly, like the right wing, burners have to strip context and common sense from a situation to state their argument. As you said, Trump adopted the Bernie so a loser playbook, word for word, bold accusations without any evidence, trafficking in conspiracy theories, outright lying, and stubbornly refusing to change. I wouldn't be surprised. And the thing with Trump, and the reason I say some of that is at the feet of Bernie, it's not like Trump waited until the election
in 26. He started from the second Bernie was talking, he started also knocking Hillary Clinton with the like, see, she's corrupt. And poor Bernie, they're still in his election and shit. And it's like, bro, you should have been immediately out there going, because he knew he was going to lose. You should have immediately been out there going, no, Donald, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Because if I don't win, I would like the woman that agrees with me 94% of the time when we go vote. I'd rather see her in office than you.
Right, but he never did that. And in fact, he dragged it forever. He's like, you know, with Joe Biden, he stepped down a lot sooner. And like, that's shit that I pay attention to, too.
Yeah, and I'm not knocking him for that, in that that could be he learned.
And that's true, too.
You know, because we didn't need another fucking, like, well, let's, you know, they were talking about doing a fucking, like, DNC convention where, like, both candidates would be there at 16, 26. It was ridiculous. I wouldn't be surprised if critical mass of Bernie morphed into QAnoners. It's not a mystery, but that the holier-than-thou ultra-left have more or less fused with the right, with Tulsi Gabbard, Jimmy Dore, Greenwald, have become regular on Tucker, engaging in asking questions about vaccines despite being fully vaccinated. Let's look at this from Kyle Rittenhouse's perspective. Yeah, she put that in quotes. That said, thanks for the podcast community and everything you do. Regards, Tinashe. Thank you.
Thank you.
Steph G says, ugh, I'm writing this quickly in my car on lunch break. Just saw the verdict of the trial, that murderer, but I'm so mad. But I knew this was gonna happen, because of course the fake crying, the leg shaking that he did at the end after they read the verdict just made me so sick. No tears, nothing, not one drop. Pretending he was relieved, meanwhile the judge was on his side the whole time. So now not only can police kill people without reason, regular white folks could go around with guns and kill anybody they want and just say it was self-defense. And yeah, they've been on that. And it's always self-defense for them, always pretending to be a medic, walking around with a semi-automatic rifle at 17, said days before he wanted to go out and kill people, is of course okay, why wouldn't it be? Yeah, like I said, I haven't followed this trial. I'll take your word for it or whatever that he said all that shit, but yeah, I don't think anybody thought he was going. I think a lot of us were braced for the fact he wasn't going to jail. I think it still can hurt.
Yes, it don't mean it don't hurt. I don't know why people think just because you might not be surprised by a verdict that the sting ain't the same.
Yeah,
just
surprise is only right. Surprise is not required to be upset. Mm-mm. You know, surprise is only one element of something that can add up to being upset. But there's a lot of things that are upsetting that aren't surprising. You know what I mean? Rent show up every fifth, like, y'all niggas need to pay this by the fifth or y'all gotta get out. I'm never surprised when that motherfucking bill shows up, but I am upset.
Well, come on. I cry when it leaves my bank account.
The judge was a complete fucking joke, and I know what God said about this topic, but a friend of mine had her younger sister at the Travis Scott concert, and she did say they told him to stop the concert. No. Anecdotal evidence, dog. Come on, man. Along with the crowd of people who work for Live Nation as management, she said she just felt like she was suffocating. There was no relief, and she was walking on people on the ground. It's just too packed. I don't think Live Nation's gonna survive after this. Thanks for reading. Yeah, I don't know if they'll survive either, but like, come on, man. Like, there were so many people using anecdotal evidence. They gonna have to prove this in the court of law,
right? Which is,
they're not different. Gonna be able to prove he heard them from the stage and was like, let them die,
right?
Which is essentially what people want us to believe. You know what I mean? And it's gonna be really hard to prove. When there is proof, he stopped the concert for somebody that would need help, meaning that maybe if he would have saw that shit, he's not the cold, callous person everybody's saying, where he was like, man, fuck them, it's devil time.
Right.
So I will see in court, man.
We will see.
Yeah, I don't feel as comfortable just being like, this definitely happened. And you know, obviously, man, I feel sorry for everyone involved in the crowd, your sister, people, you know, not even the people that survived. Like, you had to see that shit and live through that shit. So it's going to be in court, and it's going to take a while, but
yes, it is going to be a slow process.
We'll see. But the other thing is, shit like this happened before, and I don't know if it's ever put like a Live Nation out of business before.
Right. I don't know.
They may even have some insurance type shit behind, with this.
Most likely they do.
We'll see. Episode 2447, White Men in the Black Barbershop. This is from Celeste, our last email. Hey, Rod and Karen. I wanted to write in about the discussion on stress, anxiety, and productivity. It's funny how the myth slash belief that being stressed makes you perform better is one of the few things that crosses racial lines. It informs so many systems, education, healthcare, etc., and so many unattainable supporting myths are connected. Like, if I am the one who doesn't perform well under pressure, something's wrong with me. And what is hard that once you see it, I will speak for myself, it is a constant reorganizing of my thoughts and actions to do different for myself and not crap on others as well. The other thing I wanted to keep, to have you keep your eye on the ground for is with coronavirus news. There is something going on with the infection rate that seems to be happening that hasn't hit mainstream yet. So I work in healthcare with immune compromised population, and the last 4 to 6 weeks, I have seen some concerning numbers of patients and providers becoming infected and symptomatic with COVID. Now, a few were unvaccinated, so that's self-explanatory. But there have been enough that I personally know who were vaccinated early, like December, Jan, February last year, that have gotten breakthrough cases that range from moderate to serious. The testing capacity is still not where it should be, which is not the fault of Biden and Harris. Healthcare generally has had a quiet, crappy testing policy, so we could keep you working due to the shortage in workers the whole pandemic. It makes me very concerned for the winter generally, and I think we may find out that we are dealing with a new variant that has some escape properties, which makes me so fucking mad, because all of the anti-vaxxers will say some stupid shit like, see, y'all got the shot and still got sick. No, asshole, y'all are keeping this going. And if now I'm not even as protected as I was because of you, let's just say I have to keep my cool because I have bills to pay.
Right.
Yeah. I like, that's very anecdotal. That's your experience. I'm sure if that is something that is happening, we will see news on it, mm-hmm, as the trend,
somebody gonna do a study,
increases,
because that'll be something that's happening all across the country.
Yeah, we've heard of other variants, but so far they haven't picked up. Even the one that, forget the name of it, but the one that was kind of viral, vaccine resistant, mm-hmm, that one even died out. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens. As always, I like the Reading Rainbow segments as well. Have you gotten a new update to the 1619 Project book yet, or the new Carol Anderson book on the Second Amendment? I got the 1619, not the new Carol Anderson. One of the things that I really like about reading from black and brown historians is their very detailed recounting of the history of this country and how ridiculous the GOP and all these white people look trying to ban CRT. Like, y'all keep trying and keep documenting, so what? Like, our people were reading and writing and documenting their atrocities when it was even illegal for us to read. So you think you're gonna stop us? Right. I know black, brown, Asian, indigenous people have our own stuff with internalized white supremacy, but in many ways we have so much resiliency in the face of so much oppression. What do white people have? Hollow power and immature psyches that can only define themselves by who they stomp on or look down on. Have a good week and be safe for Thanksgiving, Celeste. Yeah, and the thing, Celeste, that's interesting, man, Bomani Jones says this all the time too. I have a lot more faith in white people than white people have in white people. You know what I mean? In that, I know that, because I know white people that are capable of self-analysis, mm-hmm, capable of learning, capable of changing. Mm-hmm. Even when we say white people kind of TM, and we talk about Republicans and shit, we're not talking, there's a significant portion of white people that aren't with that shit.
Mm-mm. They're not, you know, with the bullshit.
Now, they're somewhat compromised because, like I said, and I understand it, I've never had these people love me, so I don't have a soft spot for white people in that particular way where, like, right, yeah, he said nigger, but also he changed my diaper. So I'll never have the emotional connection that I'm asking them to break, that I want to see broken, you know, that I would love to see them be like, no, man, my granddaddy ain't shit and I shouldn't fuck with this guy. You know, I would love if they could do it, but I don't know that human beings are really too good about that. And I don't even know that that's a race thing. It's just a family thing. There's a lot of black people hanging on. Shit, me, nigga. I got family members that ain't woke and progressive. So, mm-hmm, I love the shit out of them, but I, you know, tell them in their face, like, come on now, I don't agree with that or whatever, but it ain't gonna change nothing. They gonna probably feel that way, or if they change, it's gonna take a long fucking time, or the most change I'm gonna get is gonna be them saying, oh, I don't talk to Roderick about that. But, you know, that's the amount of change I'm gonna be able to get. So that's what the fuck I'm gonna do. You know what I'm saying? So, mm-hmm, I think white people are totally possible of changing. They've changed a lot in our lifetimes and before, man. Like they just will, they don't like giving up power as a group,
as a total. Yeah.
And they had unfairly gotten power in this country in the first place, and so it's gonna be a fight to get it out their hands, and some of them will join us in that fight and some won't. And the ones that join us, welcome to the party, pal. And the ones that don't, fuck you. All right, y'all, that's it for this episode. We'll be back, probably do a couple episodes this week. I think Monday's pretty full, but maybe Tuesday and Wednesday, something like that. So we'll be doing a couple episodes this week. And don't forget, answer the poll. Do y'all want option to get like one bonus episode for like $5 a month, like one bonus episode a week, somewhere between 2 to 4 a month at least, and it's just like $5 or something like that? Or do y'all just want an option to like do donations and get shout outs? Mm-hmm. So y'all let us know. All right, y'all, that's it. Until next time, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.
Hey y'all, it's holiday time, and what you don't want to bring into the holidays with you is them old crusted, dusty old balls. Okay, you don't want to be unkempt coming into the Christmas season. It's time to get into the Christmas spirit, and that's why here at the Blackout Tips, we want to offer you the exclusive 20% off and free shipping with code TBGWT at manscaped.com. What is Manscaped? Manscaped are the men's below the waist grooming champions of the world. They have precision engineered tools for your family jewels. They just launched the Lawnmower 4.0 and they are trying to hook you up. So make sure you use our code and get in the Christmas spirit, okay? Because we want you to celebrate with us. And that's why now, if you act now for a limited time only, I will give you the best of Rod Christmas carols for your balls, with hits such as Deck the Balls. Deck the balls all smooth and jolly, fa la 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 la, la 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 la. Will it be nice or will it be naughty, fa la 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 la, la 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 la. And other hits such as Jingle Balls. Jingle balls, jingle balls, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun to make a ride when you just got a fresh shave. Hey! Jingle balls, jingle balls, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun that she can have when you just got a fresh shave. And other hits like Let It Mow. Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but a shave would be so delightful. And since we have nowhere to go, let it mow, let it mow, let it mow. And such wonderful hits as Silent Nuts. Silent Nuts. Holy nuts, all is calm, all is cut, round this cock as I trim through these thighs. And for the Christmas romantics, such hits as Shear Those Balls. Oh, it's that wonderful time of year we all look around and look forward to.
It is.
It's getting cold outside.
So cold.
You know what that means.
So cold.
Shear those balls. Shear those balls. It's time to go out into the city.
Let's go.
And other love songs like This Christmas. Oh, and you don't have to be alone. You can make a nice romantic night out of using the Lawnmower 4.0. That's right, fellas. She'll like it too.
your testes low. She's gonna get to know you better this Christmas. And as she trims that tree, how much fun is gonna be together this Christmas.
All these hits and more can be yours for the low, low price of going to manscaped.com using code TBGWT and getting 25% off, or taking advantage of their Black Friday sale or Cyber Monday sales, which are going on this week. Make sure you do that. And you can also get access to such other hits as Cocking Around the Christmas Tree, Balls Be Home for Christmas, Old Tannin Balls, Jingle Ball Rock, or Holly Bally Christmas. These and more will be included with your purchase. None of these songs will be included with your purchase. Act now and you can get the deal, but you will not be able to get these songs because none of these songs are actually recorded. This is just Rod playing around on a Friday night when Karen was getting her hair done and she wasn't in the house to stop him. So y'all just enjoy this code, TBGWT at manscaped.com.